ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോപനിഷത് ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്ത വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുന്ദരാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്ത വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി വിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗൃഹീതാം പുരാണമീനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായുധപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാവോ ബാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രത ജലാഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശലേദ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകേ സജ്ജനശൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമലപ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ ഭോഗം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യത്കൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദിവേസ്തവൈർവേദൈ സംഗവദേ ക്രമൗപനിഷദേർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം നവിദസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ Krishna is saying to Arjuna about tapasya. Tapasya means, basically what tapasya means, disciplining everything, disciplining the body, disciplining the mind, disciplining our speech. All this is tapasya. That is why three things Krishna spoke about. Shariram tapam uchyade, vangmayam tapam uchyade, manasam tapam, tapo manasam uchyade. In three levels Krishna spoke. Disciplining the body, disciplining the mind, and disciplining the speech. So, in the why it is to be disciplined? Because normally we are in avidya, isn't it? Our ignorance is so high in every one of us, and to become free from this avidya is not very easy. It is very difficult. The avidya is imposed by Maya in us. And due to the influence of that avidya, whatever we do is all in the wrong ways. We function in this world, not knowing what we were supposed to do. We do certain things without any proper understanding. So many examples for that. Just like you can say that normally we say that the eyewitness is more important than anything else, isn't it? Out of all the things, suppose you have heard something, you will say I've heard like this, but this I've seen it myself. So generally, what do you think? You trust your eyes more than the ear. It's not. Normally, we trust our eyes more than the ear in everything in this world. Like you, if an incident happened, you report in the court, and if you are asked to give a witness, if you are an eyewitness, and if you give the court an eyewitness account, then they will be more satisfied with that, rather than if you heard something. In Shastram, it's the other way. Ear is given more importance than the eye. Eye is not important. Why is it like that? What's the reason ear is given more importance than the eye? The reason is that the Agasham and Shabdam are connected to each other. Agasham is the origin. Agasham means the space. Space is the origin. And its subtle form is sound. And from Agasham comes Vayu. And from Vayu comes Agni. So in other words, in the most subtle level, Agasham is more subtle than Agni. Vayu is more subtle than Agni. Agasham is more subtle than Vayu. That is why Agasham's quality is Shabdam. Agni's quality is Rupam, form. That means I and Agni are connected to each other. Agni, fire, and I are connected to each other. Because Agni's subtle form is form. Agni's subtle form is the I. I and Agni are connected to each other. Agasham and sound is connected to each other. So therefore, Agni is a more crude form. More subtle form is Agasham. That is the reason. Shabdam and Agasham is given more importance than Agni and the I. Agni and I is not given importance in the Shastram. In Vedam, the stress is on Shabdam and Agasham, not on the Agni and the form or the I. Whereas in the mundane world, we give importance to the eye. In Shastram, they give importance to the ear. That is why Vedam is all referring to ear. And you also saw in the third canto, at Karnanadim Chinati, Vedaradim Chinati, ear is connected to the heart, eye is not connected to the heart. Connected in the sense that the avidya that is flowing in this Karnanadi, that is removed when it is heard through the ear. Through the ear, it has to open up that nadi, the connection with the heart, and then you become free from avidya. So from all angles, if you look at it, you can see that this is an important thing, because in the modern world, we are completely carried away by this, thinking that everything is what you see is the truth. Everything what you see is the truth, not in the Shastram. Shastram says that what you see is not the truth, what you hear from the Shastram is the truth. If you hear from the Shastram, that is the truth. Nothing else is the truth. So therefore, the importance of hearing Shravanam, that is why Shravanam is spoken in the Navavitha Bhakti, nine processes of Bhakti. Begins with Shravanam, isn't it? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasi, like that, Sakyamatma Nivedanam. Shravanam is more important than anything else. If you have that Shravana Samskaram, what they call it, the hearing culture, habit of hearing and reflecting on that, that's more powerful than what you see through your eyes and collecting the information. This is why it is important. Yeah. And when you look at these things in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find Krishna talking about it, but you may not have taken notice of it. Because Krishna's way of saying is like that. Krishna put it to us, Indriyani Pararahu, Indriyebhya Paramana, Manasastu Parabuddhi, Yo Buddhe Paradastu Sa. Says like that, isn't it? What he's saying is that sense objects are very gross. And when you become little subtle, you come to the platform of senses. That means only in the sense, when you are in the sensual level, most of us are, either we are with the sense objects or we are in the sensual level. So when you are completely trapped in the sense objects, then even the subtlety of the senses you can't perceive. You are not conscious of that even. When you are completely trapped in the sense objects, even the subtlety of the senses you are not conscious of. how subtle senses are compared to sense objects. That's what that first line, Indriyani Pararahu. Then in the next line, Krishna is saying, Indriyebhya Paramana. Even subtle than the senses is the mind. More subtle than the senses is the mind. How do we know? Proof is there. Proof is this, that when you do something with the senses, that means with your eyes open, ears open, all the senses open, and when you are busy with this world, it has an impact on you during your vacant state, isn't it? During your vacant state. But once you go into the dream state, then the senses are all shut down, but the mind is active. And what you have experienced over a long period of time in the vacant state, you can bring it into your dream state in a short period of time. You see, what you have experienced, say 10 years or 20 years in your vacant state in the world, when it comes to dream state, whole thing you can experience in a very few hours in the night, in the dream. What does that show? It shows that how subtle the mind is. That means the mind is more subtle than the senses. That's what Krishna is saying in that verse. Indriyani Pararahu, Indriyebhya Param Mana. And that manam is more subtle than the indriyam, senses are. And more subtle than the mind is the Vijnana Margam. Manasastu Para Buddhi. Buddhi is more subtle than the manas. And of course, more than anything else, Krishna is saying, Yo Buddhe Paratastusa. When you come to the spiritual platform of the soul, you become completely subtle, totally subtle, that is. So we have to go a long way from sense objects to senses, to the mind, to the intelligence, and finally to the Atma, to the soul. So that is why it is for this purpose, this movement from sense objects right up to the soul is what is to be done, for that tapas is required. That is what this tapas is all talking about. Krishna is saying tapasya, tapasya. People wonder why it is so. The rishis understood this process very much. So they told us that unless you perform tapasya, penances, you can say in English, that's what their closest words. So these penances, what it does is it makes us more subtle, able to become more subtle. We are not subtle, we are very gross. That is why we are with the sense objects and the senses. But to move away close gradually from there to the mind, to the intelligence and to the Atma, to the soul, it requires tapas. And that tapas is in various different ways. Salsangam is a tapas. Japam is tapas. And dhyanam is tapas. Uvasana is tapas. For example, worship of the deity. All that is tapas only. Some of them are tapas for the body. Some of them are tapasya for the mind. Some of them are tapasya for the words. Like chanting the holy name. And similarly, all other stotrams, what we recite, and kirtanam, all these things are tapas for the words. So that we don't talk nonsense. Otherwise, we'll be gossiping everything. To come out of that, so tapasya is required for the words. Tapasya is required for the mind. That means in the bhava mandalam, inside, that has to open up. That mind, and through the mind that bhav mandalam comes, bhava shuddhi comes inside. So this is why Krishna talked about us that anudvegaram vakyam satyam prehidam chayad swadhyayam abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. That's the 10th, 15th verse. So Upanishads also will say the same thing. Why? They are saying that if I get wrong things through my ears inside, I will not get any purity. I'll be impure inside. Bedram karnevi shruyama devaha. Bedram pashyemi shruyama jaitraha. This is from the Mundaka Upanishad, the first mantra itself. This Mundaka Upanishad was spoken by whom? Angiras Maharshi spoke to Shavanaka Rishi. The Shavanaka Rishi who comes in the Bhagavatam. The Shavanaka Rishi is a disciple of Angiras. Angiras Maharshi spoke to Shavanaka Rishi, Mundaka Upanishad. That is how Shavanaka Rishi is actually the personality who is an important person. We don't know much about Shavanaka Rishi, do we? We only hear him in the Bhagavatam, Suda Shavanaka Sambhadam. Suta Goswami and Shaunag Rishi talking to each other, who was performing the satram in Naimisharanyam with so many other rishis, right? And there, Suta Goswami comes there and speaks to him in Brahma Satram Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what we are studying in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Shaunag Rishi, he has a great history behind him. He is not an ordinary person. He is a great personality, he is. Why? In the in the Rigveda, there is 12, what they call it as mandalam. Mandalam they call it, chapter in other words. English you call it chapter, but in Sanskritam they call it as mandalam. There are 12 mandalams. The second mandalam of the Rigveda, what we have now, was all come through Shaunag Rishi. Shaunag Rishi and his disciples together, they own that second mandalam of the Rigveda. That's how famous he is, how powerful he was. That means this Vedam has come through the rishis to this world. It is his rishis, the Shaunag Rishi's, Shaunag Rishi's realizations, you can say, is the second mandalam of the Rigveda. That means he is a very integral part of the Rigveda. He is. Him and his disciples. Shaunag Rishi. Very famous personality. But in the Bhagavatam, we are only seeing, hearing him as Suda Goswami talking to Shaunaga. Suda Shaunaga Sambhadam. In the beginning and in the end, he comes again. Is it not? He comes in the beginning and he comes in the end as well, very much. So, this Shaunag Rishi is a disciple of Angiras Maharshi for Vedantam. Shaunag Rishi has a great history behind him. Apart from that, the fact that he received the Rigvedam, part of the Rigvedam, one mandalam of Rigvedam has came through Shaunag Rishi. Therefore, he is very prominent. Apart from that, he is also very well versed in the Karmagandam of the Vedam. He has performed many, many, many sacrifices before. So, Karmagandam side of the Vedam is also, he is very familiar with the Shaunag Rishi. Shaunag Rishi is familiar with Karmagandam as well. So therefore, Shaunag Rishi is given a very important position because of that. And this Mundaka Upanishad, and he studied Vedantam from Angiras. Angiras taught him Vedantam, and therefore he is a Mundaka Upanishad is a conversation between Angiras Maharshi and Shaunag Rishi. Angiras Maharshi and Shaunag Rishi. I'm just giving you an idea who the Shaunag Rishi is, because you are reading Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam, he keeps coming up all the time, isn't it? And people are saying, who is the Shaunag Rishi? Shaunag Rishi is a great person. It is the Shaunag Rishi who went to Brahmalokam to see Lord Brahma. And he went and told Lord Brahma that Kaliyugam is coming. People are already gone completely crazy. They have no dharmam, no satyam, and no shaujam. And no brain either. He says this to Brahma. He says to Brahma that the people in the Kaliyugam has come, and the symptoms of that is already there. People are lacking interest in spiritual life, self-realization, busy with the body all the time, working very hard to acquire wealth and become happy in this world. These are all symptoms of Kaliyugam. So he mentioned all this to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma told him that I'm going to roll a wheel from here and you follow that wheel. It's a Manomaya Chakram. It's not a normal chakram. Manomaya means a wheel that is in the Bhavana stage, in the Bhavana Mandalam. And the wheel was thrown from there, Brahma, and wherever it comes and hits, that place will be free from the effects of Kali. And that's why it comes to Naimisharanyam. Nimisham. Nimisham means the wheel. Aranyam means the forest. So, a forest and the wheel together, that's how that name comes, Naimisharanyam. There is a railway station called Nisar in Uttar Pradesh, where you get down and walk from there, and that's where Naimisharanyam is. So, Naimisharanyam, then Shaunag Rishi comes there with all his other rishis, all his disciples and friends and everything, and then they decide to live there. And that is where he performed that Brahma Satram. There are two types of satram, Karma Satram and Brahma Satram. But Shaunag Rishi knows both. He knows Karma Satram, he knows Brahma Satram. The difference is, Karma Satram is the one which you perform with Ritviks and everybody sitting together, performing into the fire a sacrifice. That is Karma Sutram. Brahma Sutram is when you sit with other rishis together and talks about Krishna or Ishvara. That is Brahma Sutram. So what they performed there was a Brahma Sutram, to which place Sudha Goswami comes in and then he speaks Bhagavatam to him. Sudha Goswami speaks Bhagavatam to Shaunaka Rishi. That is the background of Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Shaunaka Rishi, he is the one who heard Mundaka Upanishad from Angiras Maharshi. And the first mantra itself, Bhadram Karnemi Shrumiyama Devaha, that everything what I hear, let that be auspicious to me. I don't hear any inauspicious things. Recognizing the importance of what you hear in this world. If we hear all kinds of rubbish in this world, it will destroy your consciousness. In other words, it will be very difficult to understand the spiritual life or understand the understand what Krishna is saying. That difficulty. This is why he is saying here, Anudvega Karam Vakyam Satyam Prehidam Chayal Swadhyayam. Swadhyayam will not work out very well. Abhyasanam Chaiva Vamayam Tava Uchyate. He said, right? So this requires training all the time, not to pollute the ear with the false things, false information from this world, right? So if it is like that, body is in a healthy state. Healthy means body is also tuned, disciplined properly for hearing. Then that case there will be shanti inside. I mentioned before, Anjaneya Swami went to see Sita Devi, right? And he didn't know what to say to her. And then he sits there and starts talking about Ramchandra's story. The idea behind that was, when Anjaneya Swami knew that if he talks about Ramachandra, Sita Devi will feel relieved. She will feel relieved. So first to keep her in a peaceful state, he spoke Ramayanam from the top of the tree about Ramachandra. After hearing that, Sita Devi started feeling some relief inside, because Sita Devi thought it is over now. Nobody is going to come. I'm not going to be protected. Ravana is going to destroy my life. This way Sita Devi's mind was working. But suddenly in the middle of that, Anjaneya comes and sits on the top of the tree, and from there he speaks about Ramachandra. After hearing that, Sita Devi felt relieved inside, right? So initially you have to give some relief to her before she listens, right? And So that's what Krishna is saying. Anudvegaram Vakyam. Whatever you speak, it should not create Udvegam. Udvegam means anxiety in the mind. It shouldn't create anxiety in the mind. Yeah. So you saw what happened with Corona. The whole world was in anxiety, is it not? Everybody was in anxiety. And so the rishis, when they talk, they are very, very, very calculated. They are, while they speak. Few words, what they have to say, they will speak with that, right? And therefore, what happens is, because they speak like that, it is spoken about the rishis that vajo arthanu dhavadi. In other words, whatever they have spoken, it will come true. Because they speak little, they don't speak a lot, but whatever they speak, it will come true, right? Vajo arthanu dhavadi. So, suppose they say to you, you be happy in your life, you will be really happy in your life. It will not be like our blessings. When rishis give you a blessing, it will happen. That's the way it is, right? So it is for this principle only that in the olden days, that the Brahmanas who have educated in the Vedam and who have Nityanushtayam, when they say something, it will happen. It will happen, right? So therefore, first-class Brahmanas, they will bless you. Good Brahmanas, very well qualified people, if they say something, they know it will happen, right? So, if they say to you, another 100 years you live happily in this world without any disturbances, then that's the way they bless you, that so that you don't feel anxiety in life about the future, right? So, that is what he is saying. So, first thing is, Anudvegagaram Vakyam Satyam Priyahitam Chayat. He says, whatever you speak, it should be truth. it should not be lie, right? And you should be genuine in what you say. Sometimes people, in order to get things done, what they want, they will glorify things about you or say some things like that. Not like that. Those who hear it, they should be pleased with that. But what is beneficial for them? Not priyam. Not priyahidam chayat. Sometimes it may not be hitam. Hitam means what is the beneficial thing, right thing. But it could be priyam. It will be pleasing to you, right? That was the conversation between Vibhishana and Ravana. Vibhishana told Ravana what is hitam, what is good for him. But it was not priyam for Ravana. Ravana didn't like it. Yeah. So, Vibhishana told Ravana that let all Rakshasas also live peacefully. And so long time, they were all happy together in Lanka, Ravana and the Rakshasas, right? Therefore, listen to me, he said to Ravana, Vibhishana said to Ravana, return Sita Devi to Ramachandra, and Ravana won't have any of that. Ravana won't hear, right? Vibhishana told him that, Vibhishana says that, if you say hitam, what is good for you in this world to people, people who are willing to listen to that are very few. People don't want to listen hitam. They want priyam. Hitam is sometimes risky. Sometimes risky. And therefore, nobody, many other people also in the palace knew that what Ravana was doing was wrong thing. And they wanted to say to Ravana, but Ravana won't listen to anybody. But Vibhishana decided to tell him what is the right thing to do. So you can see hitam and priyam. Everybody wants to please Ravana, so they were going to tell him you are doing the right thing. Nobody was willing to say to Ravana that you are doing the wrong thing. Instead, Vibhishana alone, the only person in the palace who was willing to say to Ravana that what you are doing is the wrong thing. And it is hitam, that is hitam. It means that he doesn't want Ravana to get destroyed. He doesn't want the Rakshasa race to be destroyed. So he wanted to give the right advice to him. So in this world also you will see the same thing. A lot of people are doing a lot of wrong things, but nobody says anything. Why? Because they just don't want to have trouble with them. So they will keep on saying the priyam thing all the time. Instead of saying what is hitam for the world, they won't say that. So demons will take control of the things and they will do what they want. They are not willing to listen to anybody. So the same situation was happening at the time of Ramayana also. People like Ravana, they were doing what they wanted. And even today also it's the same thing. Hitam is important, not priyam. Priyam, mainly Krishna is saying, satyam priyahitam chayat. It should be spoken, hitam should be spoken, but in a priyam way. The way you present it should be priyam to him. So many instances, Puranams are teaching us all these things. And if you study all these, you can see it's being repeated again in this world, today's world also. Duryodhana, you take the same example, right? What Duryodhana did in the assembly of Kauravas is wrong thing, what he did, right? And everybody knew that what he did was the wrong thing. And some of them told him also. But people, personalities like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, all these personalities, even they didn't stop him from doing that. Bhishma, if he wanted, he could have stopped from Duryodhana from doing that. But he didn't want to do it. He just wanted to be in the good books of Duryodhana. Right? The only one person who protested and walked away was Vidura, isn't it? So, and Vidura knew it is a risky thing what he is doing. He had to leave home, leave his family, walk away from there altogether, right? But it is hitam. And he spoke in a priyam way to Duryodhana, what he was doing, right? But he didn't like it. Then later on, Krishna came and told him what is hitam for Duryodhana. He told Duryodhana, he won't listen, right? So, that is why Vibhishana also said to Ramachandra, to Ravana, I am saying to you what is hitam for you. Krishna said to Duryodhana, I am saying to you what is hitam for you. And similarly, Vidura said to Duryodhana, what is hitam for you? They didn't listen, right? So, what is the most important hitam in this world? Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is the most important hitam in this world. Knowledge of the soul, self-realization, other words, right? Whatever happens in this world, all other things are, it may be priyam, it may not be priyam, but what is really hitam for everybody is Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the soul, right? So, therefore, whatever happens in this world, in our life, the only one thing that you won't regret about or you won't repent on is only this Brahma Vidya, only Brahma Vidya, right? Because this Brahma Vidya is the only one that gets you out of this Garbhavasam, coming back to another womb and taking another birth and things like that, right? So it is the most auspicious thing, Satyam, Priyam, and if you hear this, that is what Krishna is saying, Swadhyaya. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva means this Brahma Vidya practicing it. Swadhyayam Abhyasanam Chaiva. Yeah. And then, so Bhagavad Gita, if you study on your own, it is Swadhyayam. One, you take Bhagavad Gita yourself and start studying Bhagavad Gita, that is Swadhyayam. Right? Then, so Swadhyayam is studying on your own. Then if you think about it more and more and get deeper into it, understanding, then it becomes Abhyasam. You see? So, first reading yourself Bhagavad Gita, that is Swadhyayam. And then reflecting on that again and again, then it becomes Abhyasam. And then if you present it to others and give them give them understanding of that, then Krishna is, that is, so, Vangmayam Tapa Uchyate. Swadhyayam Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyate. So, here, if you say this to others, Brahma Vidya, then it becomes Anudvaya Karam Vakyam. If you say Brahma Vidya to others, after reading Bhagavad Gita, after reflecting on that, and then you present it to others, then it becomes Anudvegakaram Vakyam. Anudvegakaram Vakyam, right? Satyam Prehedam Cha. So, Swadhyayam, so, Swadhyayam Abhyasana, both are together, right? For example, so, here you will see, Yel Satyam Vakyam Anudvegakaram Priyahidam Cha, Yat Tapo, Tat Tapo Vangmayam Yatha, Shando Bhava Valsa, Swadhyayam Yogam Cha Anutishta, Tadade Shreyo Bhavishyadi, Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Cha Eva, Yadhavidi Vangmayam Tava Uchyate. So, the spiritual master, Guru says to them that be Shandi, in Shandi, right? Swadhyayam, do Abhyasanam. Right? So, Sandhyavandanam is all Abhyasanam. Then, every day, sitting in a particular place, same time, and performing your sadhana, jhanam, meditation, japam, they are all anushtanam, right? Or reciting the Vedam. That's all Swadhyayam. So, and every day if you do that, it is saying here, every day if you do that, Satya Vakya Pradhanena Vaktavyam. Here, the Vedam, if you recite every day, Brahmanas do that, that is Swadhyayam for them. And Krishna is saying you must do that on a daily basis. as I mentioned before, in the Sanatana Dharma, it's not like in the modern world. Here, we write an exam at the end, and if you get through the exam with good results, which means you are qualified. But in Sanatana Dharma, exam is not important. How you lived your life throughout the period, 7 or 10 or 10, 12 years, how steady you were, that is what is taken seriously. On a daily basis, how strong you are. Nitya Anushtanam. On a daily, you are regular in your life, practicing spiritual practices, sadhana. Daily doing that and maintaining that stability in life. That's what is taken into account, not the exam at the end. There's no examinations. On a daily basis, how you are disciplined yourself. That's the proof of your discipline, how disciplined you are, right? So, so studying Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, everything in a disciplined way. Just like Chinmayananda Swamiji's guru, Tapovana Swamiji, right? He will recite whole Bhagavad Gita every day. All day. It takes 5 hours. All the verses, 700 verses, he will recite every day. See, it's truth. So, that is how he was. That is his swadhyaya. Wherever he was, wherever he goes, he will recite these 700 verses daily basis. Yeah? Yeah. And initially, the mind won't agree for that. 1 or 2 days, it may struggle hard. After that, mind won't allow you. Mind will take you into something else, right? So, but therefore, abhyasanam is required. Abhyasanam is required, right? One has to do abhyasanam and then it has to become swabhava, right? And that will all take a lot of time, a long time, right? After a long period of time, it becomes very easier. After many, many devotees who remember all the 700 verses on a daily basis reciting them, right? So, Shravanam, Parayanam, all these things. Similarly, commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, Bhashyam on Bhagavad Gita, Parayanam, reciting that and hearing that, this is all tapas. It is all tapas. In this way, in different ways, if you can fill the life with tapas, then you can live peacefully in this world, right? Abhyasanam means japam, practicing it continuously, continuously. Krishna said that. Chanting means it should be continuous. Yajnanam japayajnosmi, Bhagavad Gita says that, right? Daily. So, Vedam, Vedanta Shravanam, Ishravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all the three, right? So, Japam, while Japam also, Mananam should go on inside, and that's what he's saying, Vangmayam Tava Uchyate. That is the tapasya through the words, right? And then he said later on, after that, Manaprasadam Saumyatvam, Manam Atma Vinigraha, Bhava Samshuddhi Rityadal, Tapo Manasam Uchyate. So, Manasam is saying here that Manaprasada Saumyatvam, Maunam Alpa Vinigraha, Bhava Samshuddhi Rityadal, Tapo Manasam Uchyate. We are discussing this chapter, Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam. Yeah. The topic is tapas, what we are discussing, right? Tapas means a project or a plan to engage in Bhagavad Aradhana, pleasing Krishna, worshipping Krishna, right? Many acharyas have spoken about this tapas in different ways, right? And all of them are correct. They are all coming from different sides, right? Acharya Swamiji also himself has spoken about tapas in different ways, in different places, right? Manasascha Indriyanesha Aigagriyam Paramam Tapam. He mentions there, right? Manaprasado Manashandi Swachad Abadanam Manasaprasadam Saumyatvam. He says, So in one place he said, manasascha indriyanam cha aigagryam paramam tapam. Mind and the senses, if you are able to bring it to a state not affected by the world, alaugigam, when the world is not influencing the mind as well as the senses, if you can bring it to that state, that is tapasya. Ajari Swami says like that, right? So that is an invitation from a smriti. From smriti he has quoted that, right? You can also notice this in Mahabharatam, Yaksha Prashnam. When Yaksha asked Dharmaputra, Yudhishthira, the same thing. Kim tapaha? What is tapasya? He asked the question. Yudhishthira said, tapasha sudharma sudharma savartitvam. Sudharma vartitvam, he said. That was Yudhishthira's answer about tapasya. That means, once a sudharmam, when one executes that without any desires, without attachment, without creating any desires inside, that is tapasya. Now, if you look at it from the Vedam aspect, from the Vedam side, they will say this is Sapta Vyahradi. Sapta Vyahradi means seven levels of purification, right? So, in that, tapaha, tapas is one mandalam, one phase, right? With a lot of discipline inside for the body and the mind, and if your chittam, consciousness also, is very focused, I mean you are very focused on something, right? That means you are tuning yourself for a particular plane of existence. Particular plane of existence. Like I mentioned before, there are so many different planes of existence which we are not conscious of. Yeah. In our manomandalam, in the bhavamandalam itself, there are all kinds of vasanas and subhavam in us. And they are all different planes of existence one could be, right? So, in the olden days, I don't know whether you remember, when the radio came first time, you won't, just like mobile phone, we say we don't have the range. Radios also had the same problem. There was no range. So what they used to go, they'll carry the radio from one place to another with the aerial with the hand. They used to walk long, long ago, about 1950s, 60s and all that. When the first time when the radio came, by the time radio came to the villages, it took a long time. So that is how they were doing that. They will carry the aerial with the radio if they want to hear the radio. Otherwise, so that is how it was, right? Similarly, in order for this tapasya to become strong, what the yogis do, they will go and sit at different places to see if that place is very favorable for tapasya or not. How the place is impacting on them, right? So, because they know very well that if the tapasya is properly set up, right, then one who is doing sadhana, he knows that the tapas is going very well, sukham, feeling the happiness inside, right? So what is the symptom of a good tapasya is this, that feeling some happiness inside, in the mind, right? Just like you tune the when you play veena or violin, what they do? First they tune it, isn't it? Violin and all that. And they know that they will stretch it, they have that knob to turn, to lighten it or to stretch it strong. You see them when they play violin, how they adjust that things, right? So in this way, they have to tune the violin or tune the veena or whatever it is, right? And that is what actually we are doing with the tapasya. What we are actually doing with the tapasya is that, right? So here, Krishna is talking about tapasya in such a way that everything should be done in such a way that the life itself should be tuned for that. So, in a practical way. For example, few things what we do, we are not aware of this, that it is a tapasya in life, right? So, without our knowledge, some tapasya is happening in our life already, without our knowledge, right? For example, people who do deity worship, Devata Puja. And according to his capacity, people do deity worship at home. Yeah, and similarly, people also do all sorts of things, right? One should do oneself, only then it will be beneficial. If you ask others to do it, it is not doing the job. You have to do it yourself, that's right, yeah? So, sometimes people say, I have downloaded all the lectures in my mobile, they say. Everything is in the mobile. That means the mobile phone will get liberated. You won't get liberated. That's the problem. The people say like that, don't they? They say sometimes, I've kept everything downloaded. When I'm retired and when I'm free from all other things, I will listen to it. No. That way, mobile phone will get liberated, but you won't get liberated. Right? So, Bhagavad Aradhana Lakshano Dharmam, it says here. Right? And Sri Shukha Brahmashi said, Dharma Projira Kaidavotha Paramo Normal Saranam Sadam. So, what is that dharmam he is talking about? Right? Bhagavad Aradhana Lakshanam Dharmam, in other words, whatever that helps to worship Krishna, whichever way possible, alone, that alone is dharmam, and that too it should be done without expectation of any results, right? And Krishna also confirms that. Krishna is saying, one who is not asking me anything, I will follow him. One who is not asking me anything. If people are always asking me for something, then I get very unhappy about it. That's Krishna's words. Nirabeksham munim shandam. You say, nirabeksham. He is happy to see a devotee who is not asking anything. Nirabeksham munim shandam. Right? Nurvairam, samadarshanam, anubrajam, yaham nityam, puyayet, yangri renubhi. He says, Krishna says to Uddhava, I will follow them, he says. Devotees who don't ask me anything. But majority of the people do ask. Something or the other, when a problem comes in life, we will say, who else I can talk to? Krishna except Krishna. So you go and ask him everything. Right? So there, Krishna mentions that a devotee who is in that shandi state, who is not asking anything, niravaksham, munim, shandam, nurvairam, no enmity towards anyone. So I get purified from the dust of that person, he says, and I'll follow him. In other words, pure devotees, I'll follow them, Krishna says, right? So, even if you don't ask Krishna for help, if it's not necessary, if this desire goes away from inside, if we get rid of the desires from inside, then atra brahma mashnude, once the desires goes away, you have become free from this bondage, right? And here itself you become, Brahma Sambhati will come. All these things are spoken in the Bhagavadam, right? So here you will see there, Bhagavadam said these things in order to worship Krishna in the proper way. Worship in the proper way, right? Without any knowledge, even if you offer some water, or Krishna mentioned that, isn't it? Patram pushpam phalam doyam. What does it mean? It means that even if you offer that, he is more than happy, provided you don't ask anything. But if we will, what we will do? We'll say, I'll give you everything what you have asked. Now you give me all what I am asking. So that's not bhakti, right? So, so abhishekam, nama japam, all these things. Or if you read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita in front of the deities and offered it to Krishna, that is Uttama Pushpam. Then you offered something to eat to Krishna for Naivedyam and offered obeisances and then did the arati, all these things, right? And even the food what we eat, if it is offered to Krishna, then it is fine. And offering obeisances to him. In Ramayanam you will find in the forest, you know what Ramachandra offered? He made some offering there, right? And he offered some of the rejected things after taking out from the fruits what is left over. he has offered that, right? Whatever he got it in the forest. What was Ramchandra offering it for? Shraddham. He was performing after Dasharatha's death. He has to perform Shraddha ceremony. So he was performing Shraddham in the forest, and he was using all sorts of things which was not normally offered in the temples. What was available in the forest, he offered that, right? So, because he was also eating the same thing in the forest. Whatever he was getting, he was eating that. So same things he offered to Pitradevadas also while performing the Pitradharmam in the forest. So that is all Nitya Anushtanam, Nitya Samarpanam, right? And after doing all that, then then it becomes puja. That's puja, right? So in the daily life also, daily routine, Deva Puja, worship of the deity, namaskaring the holy name, Japam, Kshetra Darshanam, visiting the temples. Similarly, reading Shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, Salsangam, all these things, after doing all that, if you have time, then you can go to work. This is what Shastram says to us. After doing all these things, if you still have some time left, then you can go to work, right? So, because people ask this question, after doing all these things, when will I go to work then? All these things do take time, is it not? So that is why it was said like that. Shastram is saying, after doing all these things, if you still have time, then you can go to work. Otherwise not. Don't go to work. That's the answer. Yeah. So, you will see that mention. Kanchit kala umamahesha bhavadam padara vinde rachnai. Kanchit dhyana samadhi vichu nudibhi. Kanchil katha karnani. Kanchil kanchit avekshanaisthu nudibhi. Kanchil dasham idrisham. Yap prapnodi mudatu dharpidamana jeevan samukta khalu. One who is living a life like that, he is already a liberated person who has come to that stage. That work is not important. All this tapas is important. What he does is that, this is from the Shivanandala Hari, Ajarya Swami says there, that for a short amount of time, I did the deity worship, right? Then for some time, I sat in the meditation stage, in dhyanam. Then I visited the temple, Kshetra Darshanam, circumambulated the deity. Then I offered a lot of obeisances to the deity. And then I came back and I took some prasadam from the offering to the deity. And in the meanwhile, I got an opportunity to have some salsangam, which I took advantage of that as well. By the time I did all these things, it was evening. There was no time left, right? So, while you are awake in the during the day, all the time doing some sadhana in one way or the other, this varieties of sadhana is for this purpose. That suppose you are doing only one way, then you will find it difficult. The mind requires some variety. That is why all these different types of upasana, swadhyayam, japam, dhyanam, puja, kshetra darshanam, then circumambulation of the deity, salsangam, and offering obeisances, all nine processes. If you can all do it same different times, then you won't get bored with it. You will be able to manage it. But important thing is the time when you are awake during the day, it should be filled with these things. That is what they are saying. Krishna is saying that, right? So, nati nuti, after doing all these things, after hearing Bhagavadam later on, he says, throughout the day, if you are busy like this, then Ajari Swami says he's already liberated. He's already liberated, right? Maya won't have time to catch you. Maya can't get you, right? Then what do you do? Fill the whole time with Krishna conscious activities, in other words. Therefore, if you give them a little gap, Maya will catch you. But if you don't give any gap during the day, then Maya won't get you, right? So, therefore, you should not give free time for Maya to come. Yogis, they sit idle without doing anything. You may have seen in Himalayas and all, and in many places, the yogis, they can sit idle, not doing anything, right? If you can do that, it's great, but you try yourself and see what happens, right? So, actually, that is the best stage. If you can remain without doing anything, Uttamam. There's a verse, Uttamam Sahajavastha, Madhyamam Dhyana Dharana, Adhamam Shastra Charcha, Tirtha Yatra Adhama Adhamam. This is one standpoint. What that means is, the best thing is if you can remain in the self without getting disturbed over anything in this world, able, whatever happens in this world is not affecting inside, able to remain like that. Uttama Sahajavastha. Then, Madhyama Dhyana Dharana. Then if you are able to, if you are not able to do that, then engages in meditation, japam, all other kinds of things. That is the next best thing to do. If you can't do that either, then Shastra Charcha, absorbed in Salsangam, hearing things. First two are very advanced people. Yogis can do that. They can remain without affected by anything. What happens in this world doesn't bother them. That state of, that Shanti inside, it's so strong that not disturbed by anything, right? Then if that's not possible, Dhyanam, Japam, all the other Upasanas processes. If that's also not possible, then Shastra Charcha, discussing Shastram, hearing Shastram, in this way absorbing the mind. If none of them is possible, then Tirthayatra, pilgrimage, wandering here, there, everywhere. So, and Tirthayatra is considered to be Athama, Athama, lower than the lowest. Uttamam, Sahajavastha, Madhyamam, Jnana Dharana, Athamam, Shastra Charchasa, Tirthayatra, Athama, Athama, lower, lowest of the low. It is Tirthayatra, is considered to be, right? So, Uttamam is without any thought waves coming in, Vigalpam, no Vigalpam. And if you are able to sit like that, it's the best, that you are unaffected by anything, right? And there were people like that in the past, in the olden days, there were people who could sit like that, hours together, without doing anything, simply looking at the world and not getting affected by that, right? They will wake up in the morning and they will sit there. Early morning they'll wake up and they'll just sit there, right? And then they'll go and bathe in the tank or in the river. And after having their breakfast, they will again sit for hours together. No newspaper, no radio, no television, no gossiping, just sitting there like that without untouched by anything, right? So if you are able to do that, it's a yoga state it is, yoga sthiti, right? But, unfortunately, the body has got hands, legs, and the senses, right? So, when the knowledge of the self happens in a person, what will happen to him is that he is leaving all his upadhi, like the body, senses, mind, everything, is left to Krishna to do whatever he wants to do with it, and that is Bhagavad Gita Siddhantam. Siddhantam of Bhagavad Gita is like that, right? That's what Krishna said in the beginning, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahangara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyate. Mentions that, right? So, every one of us are unique in this world. You shouldn't compare one to another and start thinking that I cannot do the other one, what he is doing, things like that. Each one of us in this world are unique, right? If you start looking at others and start practicing it, if you do that, it won't work. That's the first thing you should be careful about. Not to look at others and start practicing it yourself. He is doing like that, I'll also try. That's not the way. The path for each one of us is different because we have come with different prarabdhams and different vasanas, right? And every one of us are original in our own way, right? So whatever that is suitable for our nature, we have to choose that and do it, right? So Krishna consciousness or Bhagavad Aradhana is a very dynamic thing, it is, right? Because it has got all these options. You can, some people, you will not notice that. In some people you will see this. They'll go to the temple, they will do hundreds of circumambulation of the temple. Simply circumambulating and chanting the holy name or not chanting the holy name. Simply circumambulating the temple. There is a circumambulation route in all the temples. In the traditional temple, there will be route for circumambulation of the deity. outside, nobody will disturb you. You keep walking, circumambulating the temple. Some others will simply offer obeisances as much as possible in a day, 1,000 times, sometimes 1,000 times a day, right? So, or some other people who are more controlled, they will be able to sit in one place and engage in meditation, dhyanam, or japam, all these things, right? So, all these are deva puja, worshipping the deity, right? Tapasya. Salsangam, Dvija Deva, Krishna says here, Deva Dvija Guru Pratya, Pujanam Shauja Marjom, 14th verse. Brahmacharyam Ahimsaja, Shariram Tapa Uchyade. So all these things are for Shariram, for the body to control, right? So, Pratya Pujanam. So, Dvija, Deva, Guru, Prajna, Pujanam. All this is in another form of Salsangam, it is, right? And it is required intermittently, right? So, then Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads, all these things are for Dhyanam, meditation. To the extent one has desire for Salsangam, if a desire comes inside for Salsangam, what that means is, Krishna is becoming a bit favorable. That's the indication of that. If a desire for Salsangam genuinely comes inside, I just want, like the Salsangam, I want to be in the Salsangam. If a thought comes like that, it means that it is a symptom of Krishna's approval of your desire. Krishna's approval, that is, right? So, a desire inside, that it suits my nature of hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Some people like that, hearing all the time. And that desire itself is bhakti, right? You remember what Dhritarashtra said, Ajata Paksham Viva Madaryam Khaga Tanyam Yaga Valsatara Chudhartha Priyam Priyeva Vishidam Vishanna Mano Aravindacha Dadrakshade Tvam Mama Uttama Shloka Janeshu Sakyam Samsara Chakram Brahmadam Sokarmabhi, he said. Remember, the Uttarasura, while leaving the body, he has famous prayers they are in the 6th canto. He says, then Ajatavakshamiva Madaram Khaga, that the birds are waiting in the cage, babies are waiting in the cage for the mother to come and feed them. Mother will go whole day looking for food and she will bring it in her beak and bring it and deliver it to the babies in the evening. And the babies are waiting, they are just newly born babies. So they're waiting for the mother to come in. Ajada Paksham Viva Madaram Gaha. They don't have the wings. They cannot fly anymore because they're babies. Ajada Paksham they are. So they, like they are waiting for the mother to come. Sanyam Yadha Valsadara Chudhartha. Like the calf is waiting for the cow to feed the baby. Cow and the calf. That example. Calf is waiting for the milk. For the cow to, cow will happily release the milk from inside. And the baby is able to drink as much milk as the baby wants, the calf, right? Sanyam yada valsadara sudartha. Priyam priyeva vishidam vishanna. Like the husband and the wife is waiting for the husband to come back. All these things, in the same way, Uttarasura says, I'm waiting for Salsangam. Like these three examples says, Mama uttama shloka janeshu sakhyam. That's what Salsangam it is. Uttama Shloka Janeshu Sakyam Samsara Chakre Brahmadam So Karma Bhi. I am rotating in this world through my karma. Come to this world in a particular form, get into one womb of a mother, and then I get delivered, and then my misery starts after Garbhavasam, and then Jananam, and then Balyam, and then Kaumaram. Like that, all the suffering, and finally Maranam, and going away from this world. This is our life in this world, right? So, he is saying here, just like that, he said, I am waiting for Salsangam. Oh, Purtrasura said this in the Bhagavatam. So, after saying that, he mentioned in the 14th verse, what is Shariram Tapa Uchyade? Devadvija Guru Pratyam Pujanam Shaucham Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsaja Shariram Tapa Uchyade. And so, with the body offering obeisances, and with the words japam and studying shastram, swadhyayam, all these things. Then he said, Anudvagaram Vakyam Satyam Prihidam Chayal Swadhyaya Vyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyade. This is a little bit subtle than the other one. The 14th verse is more gross. Means doing with the body. What you are doing, most of it is with the body, is it not? Devam, Dijam, Guru, Prajna, Pujanam, Shaujam, Arjavam. Or Brahmacharyam, Ahimsa. All that is related to the body. Little bit more subtle than that is the 15th verse. What is that? Anudvagaram Vakyam Satyam Prehidam Chayal Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapam Uchyade. So, it is a sushma. It's more subtle, right? It is not tapasa outside. It is an internal thing. This 15th verse is an internal thing, right? Then the next verse also is Manasam Uchyade. Manaprasada Saumyatvam Maunam Atma Vinigraha Bhava Samshuddhi Rityadal Tapo Manasam Uchyade. So this tapasa, Andariya tapasa, internal tapasa, or what you call tapasa of the mind, right? Out of the three, Shariram, Vachikam, Manasikam. Shariram, words and the mind, right? So if you look at that 16th one, he's saying here that, what does it mean? Shariram atapo manasam uchyade. Means what? Krishna is saying, if your tapas is good, you should always be a happy person. A devotee is not depressed. Devotee should always be happy actually. Manaprasada saumyatvam. Manaprasadam is not... Some devotees are so much stressed out in spiritual life. That is not a sign of a devotee. That shows that manaprasadam is not there. Manaprasada saumyatvam. Maunam alpa vinigraha. Right? Always able to remain in a happy state. Not in an anxiety mood. Sometimes it happens. Right? People get very anxiety inside bills of what will happen tomorrow. What will happen tomorrow. Right? And able to remain like that, that is a symptom of yoga, Krishna saying. Manaprasada saumyatvam, right? If the mind is dull all the time, what that means is, there is something wrong in your sadhana. If you are feeling dull inside in the mind, it's a symptom that there is something wrong in your sadhana process, right? Krishna mentioned that in the Bhagavad Gita, how a yogi should be. Remember, if you study those eight verses in the Bhakti Yogam chapter, when Krishna says, who is a devotee? Isn't it? Adveshta sarvabhudanam, maitra karuna evacha, nirmamo nirahangara, samadukha sugakshami. And the next verse he is saying, sandushta sadadam yogi. If he is a yogi, devotee, then he is be sandushta sadadam. Always he should be happy. If he is not happy means there is something wrong. That something what he is doing is not right, right? Because Krishna is saying there that with these symptoms only you can say somebody is a devotee or not by these symptoms, right? So when Vivekananda went to America, he used to play with children, small children. He likes to play with them, and he was playing with them, right? And he will make jokes with them, and he play with the children. Children also enjoyed it, playing with him, right? So, at one point, one of them have written this story about Vivekananda later, who had played with him. He wrote this, right? The father from the church, local church from the parish, he came that way. And he says to Vivekananda, Swamiji, what are you doing here? Playing with these little children and wasting your time like this. And he told him that, you don't know these Westerners, he said. That you should be serious in whatever you do. You should always be very serious. Otherwise they won't appreciate that, he said. Vivekananda says, yesterday I was very serious because my body was giving me a lot of trouble. Therefore I was serious, he said. Otherwise why should I be serious? Because our Shastram has told us, Amrutasya Putraha, right? You are supposed to be born with the children of immortality. You should be happy. Why should you be worried about anything? Amrutasya Putraha. Kadomanishad says that, right? So, our original nature is Shanti, Anandam, happy, bliss. That is our nature, right? And Vedam prefers to call us like that. Amrutasya Putraha. Vedam keeps reminding us then you are not children of misery, you are children of happiness, immortality, right? Like in sometimes when you hear this priest, they lecture from the Bible, they say, they address you, oh sinners and all that. They call you sinners, isn't it? Right? Whereas Upanishad says, Shrunande Vidya Amrutasya Putraha, Vedam calls us, you are children of immortality, Amrutasya Putraha, right? Anandam is our nature. That is how Vedam advises. It doesn't call us, you are all sinners and you are all fallen and you are all this and you are that. No, that's not how Vedam says so, right? So, Vedam says to us, why are you looking so depressed? Why is your face looking so unhappy, right? Because if it is like that, it is a disease. If you are feeling that way, it is a disease, right? So, our actual Swarupam is Santosham, happy. We are happy, right? So, and that is what Krishna is saying. So, those verses in the in that chapter, 12th chapter, you take each word carefully and look at it yourself and see where you are at. Krishna is saying to us, Santushta Satadam Yogi, is Atma Drada Nishchaya, my Arpita Manomodhur, Yomal Bhakta Samay Priyaha. Why did Krishna say a devotee's characteristics like that? So that others could evaluate themselves. Anyone could evaluate themselves, right? So, so having said that, so all the time he is in the Shanti state, yogi, right? So that sandosham what Krishna has spoken in the 12th chapter is a symptom of this manaprasadam. See what he says here in the 16th verse? Manaprasada saumyatvam. This manaprasada saumyatvam is what Krishna is talking about, sandosham, in the 12th chapter. Sandushta satatam yogi. So if somebody is always feeling depressed in spiritual life, or feeling that they are too serious about spiritual life, that's not a symptom of spiritual life. Spiritual life means somebody is always happy all the time, not disturbed inside, whatever happens, right? So, so this always in the Shanti state, right? Anandam, Sandosham, right? So, Manaprasada Saumyatvam, right? That happiness inside is another symptom of Manaprasadam. Manaprasada Saumyatvam, that Shanti inside. If this problem inside, the problems inside, if that is gone, then Sandosham will come, happiness will come, right? What is the Dosham inside? Dosham is Avidya. Because of Avidya only. Avidya is inside, that means fulfillment is not there. Not satisfied in life with various things, right? And like you can see, if you observe people, a lot of people have got a lot of money in them, with them, right? But they're not happy in life. They have a lot of money, but they're not happy in life, right? And then there are the other people, poor people also, very poor people. They don't have any money. They also don't have happiness, right? And similarly, some people, celebrities and all, they are very popular in this world, right? But they are not happy inside on their own. And similarly, those who are desiring for fame and name and fame, they are also not happy, right? Some people are very healthy in life, right? But they are not happy inside. Similarly, there are people who are very sick, they are also not happy. So if you look at people from all sides, you will see this, right? This contrast. Some people who are very rich, they are not happy inside. Some people who are very poor, they are also not happy. They are also not happy. Some people are very healthy, they are not happy inside. And some people are very sick, they are also not happy. Some people they got very famous in this world, but they are not happy inside. And some people, they want to become famous, but they are also not happy inside. This contrast, right? So, sometimes you can see this, that this is this amazing thing when you look at people, their nature, right? And sometimes you may see this, some very rich people also happy also, right? And rarely you may see that. And similarly, some people when they are very poor, also they could be happy. the possibility is there. So all that depends on that individual person, right? You have to find, Krishna is saying, you have to find some way or the other, how to remain happy in life. How to remain happy in life, right? And that is a tapasya. That's what he's saying there. Manaprasada saumyatvam, maunam alpavinigraha, tapo bhava samshuddhi rityadal, tapo manasam shuddhi. That bhava samshuddhi. Bhava samshuddhi means in the mind not allowing all the garbage to get in and to disturb inside. Able to remain aloof from all the influences from the world outside, right? So, so that's what he is saying here. And that avidya, ignorance has gone from inside. And that avidya is this, that when we get affected by the world, from the sense objects, from the world outside, it changes our identification with the world. Instead of knowing fully well that I have nothing to do with this world, this body is not my identity, I am purely on the spiritual platform, on the conscious level, right? And able to remain satisfied with that. And when you see a yogi like that, you see that santosham, happiness inside, tripti. Not that all the time you have to speak about the adhyatma vidya, right? But the santosham inside, if you go get closer to them, then you will be infected with their santosham, their happiness, right? Some, you can observe this in some yogis, they will always laugh, constantly, continuously laughing, right? And people who go closer to them, they also start laughing because of that influence from them, right? All this is ananda siddhi, shanti siddhi, indriya nigraha siddhi. All these things Krishna is talking about here. Maunam alpa vinigraha. Manaprasada saumyatvam, maunam alpa vinigraha. Manasandosham, saumya bhavam, maunam, alpa samyonam, chinda shuddhi. All these are manasigam, tapas. Tapo manasam uchyade, right? Then you will notice these things in the Mahatmas also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, all of them had this ananda siddhi in them. Always they were anandam, in bliss, right? Mahaprabhu's pastimes, if you see, if you look at it, you will see. He was always in a blissful state. Did you know? While he was chanting Hare Krishna and wandering around all over, he was in a happy state all the time, right? So, often children will come and they used to play with Paramahamsa, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, and together they used to chant the holy name, and immediately he will go into samadhi state, right? Sometimes he will make jokes with them and they will laugh, right? And when Vivekananda was talked about this, Vivekananda says to them, you should have seen my master, he said, right? And compared to him, I'm just a bore, he said, right? Master, always in a blissful state, he said. So, and the fact is that the master didn't even know how to read or write, and he was in that blissful state, right? So, one famous personality came to see him, Bankim Chandra Chatterjee. Who is Bankim Chandra Chatterjee? He wrote this famous song, Vande Mataram, which has become a big issue now everywhere, whether it should be sung or should not be sung like that, right? He was a poet, right? So when he came to see him, Bankim Chandra Chatterjee came to see Paramahamsa. At that time, Paramahamsa asked this question, what's the goal of life? He said, right? So Bankim Chandra Chatterjee told him, I should have good prasadam to eat, I should be able to sleep well, and whatever sense gratification I can have in this life, that's what my goal, he said. So Paramahamsa told him that you know, he said, that if you eat onions, you will smell onions, right? So at that time, when Paramahamsa said that, the others who were present there, Bankim Chandra Chatterjee spoke to them in English. In them, among the elite in Bengal, they used to speak in English. They won't speak in Bengali. It was the kind of situation due to the colonization, what happened, right? So he spoke to them in English something, and Paramahamsa didn't understand. He doesn't know anything, one word of English. So he could not understand anything. So Paramahamsa asked him, what did you say to them? So Bhagavan Chatterjee told Paramahamsa that I have told them whatever you have said, that what you have spoken is a very good thing, he said. So at that time, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa told him a story. What was the story? It's like this. He said a big zamindar went to a barber shop to shave, right? He went there. So the barber shop, the barber took his knife and he was getting ready to shave, right? So, and when he took that, while shaving, he cut somewhere. You know, in them days, we didn't have all these sophisticated things what we have today for shaving. Today, if you see the market, what's available on that? And in them days, everybody went to the barber shop. People won't shave at home, they'll go to the barber shop or do it. So that's why he did that. Yeah. So the barber, while he had this sharpened knife, which he will on the stone, he'll be doing this all the time to sharpen it. So, but in spite of that, while he was shaving, it got cut and the blood started coming out, right? So, so he said, Jamindar, the rich person who's gone there, he said, damn it, he said, when the blood came out, right? So the barber also didn't know English. He didn't understand what this damn it means. So, he said to Zamindar, said to him, damn it. And then barber got angry. Barber thought that he said something to accusing him or condemning him like that, right? So he said, what did you say? The barber asked him. He said, what I was saying is be careful while shaving me. He said, that's all I said, he said. He tried to mellow it down by saying like that, right? Barber didn't believe it.
Yeah.
He understood that there's something not right. So he says, okay, I don't understand, but if you say damn it means that, then it's okay that if you say that I'm still a good person in your eyes, then I am damn it. If you say I'm a good person, I'm damn it. If I'm not a good person, he says, that you, your father and your grandfather, all damn it, he said. The barber says to him, you know how in villages, they don't speak English, right? They don't. They will hear one or two words here and there. Village life is interesting that way. In city, everybody goes to colleges and they prefer to speak English at home and things like that. But in villages, it's not like that. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was like that. He was a village person. And he did not understand English at all. Nothing. And all these people who have gone to Oxford and Cambridge are coming to see him. This was the situation. They were coming to see him to discuss about life. And he was so relaxed about everything. And he couldn't explain anything in English. And because of their nature, they were finding it very hard to understand him properly, right? So what Krishna is saying here, this manaprasadam is such a thing. Yogis and the jnanis and the great devotees, they all have that, this manaprasadam. And this is what happens. People who have gone into Oxford and Cambridge and all and got all these big degrees, manaprasadam is not there. And they are finding it very difficult because their head is completely wound up with all the knowledge of this science and world, things like that, right? So Krishna is saying, you should never be depressed in life. You should never sit depressed, right? If depression do come in life, you have to do some method by which you get rid of that quickly from that. We don't know what that prasanna what he is saying here, manaprasadam. We don't know that, right? Only yogis know that, what that manaprasadam means. And that is what he is saying here. When the sun is rising in the morning, similarly, that feeling of purity inside, not affected by the world at all, nirmalyam, shanti. When the senses are in a balanced state and the buddhi is in a peaceful state, everything in the perfect situation inside. Buddhi in a peaceful state and senses are not disturbed. And in that way, everything, that is what is called that manaprasadam. See that? Manaprasadam manashandi. Swachadavadanam manasaprasadam saumyatvam. He says. Whatever we are doing here, it creates that shandi inside and it will reflect on our face, how peaceful we are, right? So he's saying here, the after effect of all that is this manaprasadam. The things what we do in life and the thoughts what is going through our mind and the things what we speak, all this creates manaprasadam, right? So if one has got good tapasya, its after effect is this manaprasadam, right? Prasannam, prasannada. And this you will know when you see the yogis. When you see great yogis, you will see this, right? So that manaprasadam is a symptom of a devotee, Krishna says. Manaprasadam, right? Devotee, if he is always depressed, then Krishna also gets bored with him. If Krishna sees a devotee always coming in a very depressed state to see him, he is not very happy about that. He wants a devotee to come, but he wants you to come in a happy state, not in a depressed state. Yeah? Manaprasada saumyatvam maunam alpa vinigraha. So, that is what he is saying here, that you see the bhashyam, commentary on that. Yet manaprasada saumyatvam yet saumanasyam ahu mukhadi prasadadi karya and karyaneyam andakkarana vrtihi maunam vak samyamaha abhi manasamyama purvago bhavadi idi karyana karanamuchyate manasamyamo maunam idi alpa vinigraho mano nirodha sarvadaha samanya rupam alpa vinigraham vag vishayasya eva manasa samyamo maunam idi vishesha. That is the most important part. Alma vinigraho vag vishayasya eva manasa samyamo maunam idi visheshaha bhava samshuddhi pare vyavahara kale amaya vitvam bhava samshuddhi idi edat tapo manasam uchyade. What it says is that this manaprasadam, that peace, manasa, shandi, prasadam, that happiness inside, the root cause of that is andhakarna, subtle body. Yeah, the andhakarnam or the subtle body is peaceful, then saumyatvam is saying there. Saumyatvam. Saumyatvam means gentleness, feeling gentle, right? So we are talking about a first-class devotee. First-class devotee symptoms, right? And whether it is as a Vaishnava devotee, whether it is a Shiva's devotee, it's the same thing. Saumyatva means always in the shandi state inside. Shandi state inside. Not acting as in shandi state, but inside he is shandi, in a shandi state. That means all the ahimsa bhavam, similarly aham bhavam, all that is not there. Lot of peace inside and not disturbed by anything, right? So that is called a saumyatvam. Saumyatvam means that no disturbances inside and in a peaceful state able to exist like that, right? Why did Krishna say it's a part of the tapasya? Because this shandi state, one has to get it by performing tapasya. That's the only way you get it. Practicing it tapasya. Manaprasada saumyatvam. Mahanam alpa vinigraha. So what it means is, a very balanced state of the mind. Balanced state of the mind. See this ecstasy, what we say, devotees say like that, is an ecstatic. emotional state. And then you will see the same people very depressed also after some time. At some moment they are very ecstatic and very emotional, very they say blissful. After kirtan, they feel blissful and ecstatic. And after that, when they come out, they are very depressed also. That is not what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is saying, all the time, able to maintain that manaprasadam, manaprasada saumyatam, that shanti inside all the time, and due to that, the peaceful state, right? So, when the mind is like that, that you are feeling ecstatic and very emotional, and then getting depressed, if it is like that, you have to do very good sadhana, adhyatma sadhana, and bring that mind into the shanti state. And that requires practice. One has to put a lot of effort to bring that mind into the shanti state, right? he is saying here, Maunam Atma Vinigraham, through the knowledge of the self, jnanam, or discussion of the Shastra, Shastra Charcha, or through Salsangam. In all these ways, Krishna is saying that you have to bring the mind into Samatvam, into that steady state. Samatvam Yoga Muchyade, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in other places. Actually, if you are a yogi, whether you are a jnani or a jnani yogi or a karma yogi or a bhakti yogi, the way to judge a person, whether he is in the yoga state, is by looking at this. Samatvam Yoga Muchyade. If he is able to remain in that steady state all the time, right? So that's why Krishna said, yoga means samatvam. Samatvam. Because what happens is, this ahangaram inside, all of us, it will keep popping up all the time in different ways, especially when you are doing vyavaharam, right? So if the ahangaram pops up, manaprasadam will go. If ahangaram comes up, manaprasadam will go, right? And I'll start thinking me, mine, and something in my mind, I have to become something. All these things will remain inside, right? And to become something, that urgency inside, that urge will come inside, right? In that situation, the prasadam won't be there, manaprasadam won't be there, right? And in the result of that is that you will ignore others or you will write them off because of that ahangaram inside, darshtyam, right? With that result also, the saumyatvam, what Krishna is saying, will go from inside. That's why that line is important. Manaprasada saumyatvam. Maunam alma vinigraha, right? So, then he is saying here that maunam. See, after that he says, manaprasada saumyatvam maunam. It says, also, maunam means what? Silence. Silence. Silence of the words, right? Vang maunam. First step. Yogasya pradhama lakshanam vang nirodho avarigrahaha. Here is saying there. Manasamyamo maunam iri alma vinigraho mano nirodham sarvadaha. So, basically what he is saying is, as much as possible, minimize the conversation. Minimize talking. Minimize it, right? If that is not possible, at least we should go and sit in a solitary place alone, somewhere, wherever it is possible, right? Because if you see people, natural tendency, you have to speak something. That urge will come. You can't see, look at people and not say anything to them. They will take in the wrong way. So you'll have to say something at that time, right? So, in the middle of all other people, if you are able to keep yourself silent, that's a good thing, if you are able to do that, right? So, through practice also, it is possible, Krishna is saying, that you take a vow like this, that now and then, occasionally, go away from the crowd and remain silent on your own. And that is what he is saying here. It can be practiced, right? And vang maunam. Vang maunam. So yogis do that. They like to be aloof from everything and remain alone in the forests or in the mountains somewhere or in the riverside. Somewhere they go and sit alone and looking at the nature and not allowing chittavrittis to build up inside. Right? So in Adhyatma Sadhana, in Sadhana process, this control of the words is the second tapas. First one we talked about the tapas of the body, isn't it? 14th verse. That's all related in a gross level, for the gross body it is. Deva, Dvija, Guru, Pratya, Pujanam, Shaucham, Arjavam, Brahmacharyam, Ahimsa. All that is for the body. Shariram Tapamachyade, gross body. This particular verse, 15th verse, is talking about Vangmayam Tapa Uchyade, tapasya for the words, right? So here, normally the tendency is there to talk. A lot of things we talk in this world, right? So in order to control that, to control the these words, one method is to chant the holy name, japam, or dhyanam, or reading shastram in this way, right? Even then, talking means a lot of your energy goes away, simply by talking, energy goes, right? So, therefore, even though japam, dhyanam, or sadgrantha parayanam, like swadhyayam and all that, that also takes away the energy, but yoga means basically protecting the pranam, not allowing the pranam to go freely. So in order to protect the pranam, many of these Bhagavadam speakers and all that, what they do, once they have finished a saptaham or long hours of talking for days together, they will go aloof from everybody and they will sit somewhere in the riverside, or they will go into the mountains or into the forest somewhere and not talk to anyone for a few days, to keep that, even though they may have spoken about Krishna consciousness, still they will protect themselves from the importance of silence is there. And some people, what they do is, they will always carry a book with them and keep looking at the book and read from the book, right? In order to keep themselves silent, to avoid discussing or talking other things, right? They'll try to finish the book. Or some others, they will keep writing something. In that way, keeping themselves, not forcing them not to talk anything, right? So, that's all he is saying here. Bhava samshuddhi rityedal tabo manasam uchyade. Once it so happened, right, one yogi, he was controlling his words. So, he went into silence. He went into silence, right? So, he had a disciple also. So it has become very difficult for the disciple to deal with him. So whatever he wants to say to his disciple, he will speak with his fingers. And he was communicating with the hands and all that, face, right? So he did not understand, the disciple could not understand everything properly. So one day, another disciple has prepared the food. And this disciple has come and told the yogi that the food is ready to eat, right? So the yogi asked, told this disciple, find out what has he cooked today. Ask him that, he said. So the disciple did not understand. He went and told the other disciple that Swami does not want to eat today. In fact, he wanted to find out what he has cooked. But he went and told him he is not eating today, right? And Swami was feeling very hungry. So you can see how things happen, right? So you remember in the Rishabha Maharshi, Rishabha Dev, what did he do? In order not to talk, he put the stone inside. Remember? Yeah. In the fifth canto, if you read Rishabha Dev's story, you will find to escape from talking, he put a big stone inside the mouth and he was wandering around all over so that he won't speak. There also he is saying this, tapodivyam putraga yena sattvam shuddhyed tasmal brahma saukhyam anandam. Krishna is talking about tapasya, Rishabhadevi is also talking about tapasya. Tapodivyam putraga yena sattvam, sattvam shuddhyed. He says you have to purify yourself through tapasya. That's the only way, he said. Tapodivyam putraga nayam deho deha bhajamur loge kashtan kaman arkhade vibhujamye. Tapo divyam putraga yena sattvam. satvam shudhyet. Tapodivyam putraga yena satvam shudhyet. You have to, he says to Bharata and all the other children and all the people who have come to listen to him before he left his palace and walked away from there. He gave this big famous lecture. That's what that fifth canto is about. Rishabhdev's lecture to his disciples, to his children and the public. And that's where he said, the first verse itself is like that. Perform tapasya, he said. Through tapasya, purify yourself. Putraga yena sattvam shuddhyet. Then, if sattvam shuddhyet means Brahma Sokhyam to Ananda, the end result will be, you will experience that Brahma Sokhyam. Right? So that is why Rishabhdev's story is like that. Just like Salagram, he put some stone inside, in the mouth, and he wandered around all over the country in that way. Right? Only for the sake of Maunam, to keep Maunam, to control. Right? Energy conservation, in other words. Right? Energy conservation. Not to waste the energy by talking. Right? When Chandrasekhara Saraswati was in Kanchi, what he did was, 23 years he wandered around all over the country, walking everywhere. 23 years he walked all over the country. He didn't go back to Kanchipuram. Wandered around all over, and finally he didn't go at all. After 23 years he came back to Kanchipuram. After walking 23 years, right? So when he got back, everybody thought that there will be a big salsangam. He will be talking to everybody about what happened, right? As soon as he came back for 1 year, they call it as Kashta Maunam. Kashta Maunam means that total stopping, completely, 100%, no talking. For 1 year he was like that, after coming back to Kanchipuram, right? So this Maunam nature was the Sahaja Siddhi. By nature he was like that. Doesn't learn to talk a lot. Talk very little, as little as possible, right? And he won't even move. He will sit in one place. If you have seen him, you could see that without even moving the eyelids, he will just sit like that, hours and hours together, right? So, no movement at all. So, Maunam is a very good tapasya, what Krishna is talking about, Maunam. And only thing is, it should not become a disease, this Maunam, right? People who talk a lot, for them, Vang Maunam is good, right? And not talked about the Maunam of the mind, right? Vang Maunam means controlling the words, right? So, words is a gross manifestation or gross representation of the silence inside. Vaka, words, is the most gross form of the silence inside us, right? Remember, Parapashyanti Madhyama Vaikari, the four levels. So, where is the sound coming from? From the soul, Andaryami inside. From the para, para it comes, right? So, that knowledge of the soul or the knowledge of the self, it is given, it is spoken this way, that one who has the realization inside of the soul, knowledge of the soul, presence of the soul, he knows very well that the words are coming from there. And that is what's called silence. One who is conscious of that. So in other words, the samadhi state of a realized soul is maunam. Muni. That is how this word muni came. Krishna has used that word everywhere in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? Muni. Yeah? In the second chapter also he spoke about the muni. Yeah. So then maunatva, maunam, muni. Muni means one who has got maunam, silence inside. This shandi state, in his, that maunam, is a state of jivanmukta, liberated soul, right? And whether they speak or whether they are in silence, they are still in maunam. They are still in maunam. And behind what they speak, there is a silence behind that, right? And they will always come back to that state of silence after they have spoken. That means they are so measured when they talk. Whatever they talk, it will be so measured. And because it's coming from realization, that it does not affect their maunam. Like when we talk about all kinds of rubbish, don't we? Absolutely no use to anyone, but still we'll talk because the social etiquette is like that. You have to talk something and you keep talking, right? So, able to remain that maunam is a symptom of this manaprasadam, what Krishna is saying here. It'll give them shanti in that way, yeah? So, therefore, you will see here, when you look at that Dakshinamurti Stotram also, it says here about Dakshinamurti's maunam. Dakshinamurti's maunam, right? Maunam vyakhya prakatita param brahmadattvam yuvanam vasishtande vasadrishinai avudam brahmanishtai acharyendram karakalita chinmudram anandarupam swalmaramam uditavadanam Dakshinamurti meedai. Dakshinamurti Stotram begins with that. He's saying there that Yogi's Maunam, Maunena Sambhodhya Brahmadattam. Like for example, Dakshinamurti, you will see this in the fourth canto, in the Bhagavadam. Dakshinamurti is instructing the four Kumaras. They have come to see Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva's Dakshinamurti form is instructing them, right? And how is the instruction done? In Maunam, in silence. Nothing is spoken, but the message is getting transmitted to the Kumaras from Lord Shiva's heart into the Kumaras' heart without saying one word. The transmission happens without that, right? So many, many great personalities are like that. Their maunam is a symbol of that. Maunam or silence is under the name of Brahmam as well, or Samadhi state. What that means is, no, in their inside, no thought waves are coming. Chittavritti is not happening at all inside. And that is the maunam of the mind. Suppose in our mind, is no thought waves coming, it means that the mind is in the maunam stage. That is the maunam stage. Yeah. Normally, we have so much thoughts coming all the time, one after the other. Is it not? And we also don't know how to stop it. It keeps coming one after the other. Yeah. So, maunam and the mind are closely connected for this reason, right? The maximum you can bring it down, chittavritti, thought waves inside, thought waves, chittavritti. And that Krishna calls it as yoga state. Patanjali also says the same thing. Yoga, chittavritti nirodhaha, he says. Yoga means chittavritti nirodham. If you can stop the thought waves coming inside the mind, you are in the yoga state. That's the proof of that. Chittavritti, thought waves are not coming in the chittam, in the mind, means you are in the yoga state. Yeah. So, nishchala tattvam, javam, dhyanam, salsangam, all this is for getting to that stage of maunam, right? Maunam, able to remain in that shanti state. Sometimes even when you wake up after good sleep, you will feel silence inside at that time. that means at that moment you have some maunam, right? All the stress and the strain what you have of the mind, you will know that while you are sleeping. In the sleep you will get to know that, right? Sometimes in the half sleep, you are sleeping and halfway you have woken up, right? And if you woke up from the bed, you will see that all the problems inside you, what you have inside your mind, pain and all other kinds of problems, right? All those things will come out at that moment, right? So this maunam, what Krishna is talking about, has to reach to that level. That even at that stage, when pain comes out or some kind of, suppose you have slept with some disturbed mind, you tried to sleep or you went to sleep, you are thinking about something which was disturbing your mind a lot, different things, right? Or anxiety about certain things. Mind has got all kinds of problems. So all these thoughts are inside and you have gone to sleep. And suddenly in the middle of the night, you woke up with all those thoughts coming back again straight away. Disturbs your mind, yeah. Krishna is saying that when you wake up and if these thoughts are coming back, that means the maunam has not come to you yet. You still have to learn, even in such a state, when thoughts are coming like that, it does not disturb you. If that is a situation, that maunam is there, then the maunam has to reach to that level, that even when you wake up, it should not come back and disturb you, right? And that is the benefit of tapasya. Tapasya, what he is saying. Bhava samshuddhi rityedal tapo manasamuchyade. Bhava samshuddhi. Bhava samshuddhi means this mind has become purified then. That's the proof of that. Bhava samshuddhi means the purification of the purified state of the mind. Purified state of the mind. That means all these emotions and the different pains and sufferings and anxieties and depressions and whatever it is, they are not coming anymore. They have stopped coming and not disturbing us. That state, Krishna is saying, is Bhava Samshuddhi. Bhava Samshuddhi means that, right? So, you know, mind, the psychiatrist also says subconscious mind, unconscious mind, and all kinds of mind, right? Different layers they talk about, right? For yogis, they don't have all these different layers, right? Yogis have got only one thing, maunam, silence, right? There's no layers, right? And when they go to sleep at night, they are in that maunam state that they are sleeping, right? And when they wake up in the morning, they wake up like small children. If you observe small children, you will see how different they are from us, right? All this is a result of tapasya, right? If you look at small children, what do you see? You can see that in a natural way, they have that. In a natural way, they have got that, right? Because you see how they wake up very fresh, and you look at their faces in the morning when they wake up after sleep, they'll be very looking very fresh. Look at us when we wake up in the morning, how we look. But what will happen is, if you live in this samsaram for some time, all garbage will get inside. What garbage means? Raga dvesham and all other impurities, right? And all kinds of useless things. We have worked a lot in this world, and after that we have got exhausted in this world, right? And then there is no peace inside. So Krishna is saying that you have to become consciously like the children. Children gets it in a natural way because they are not spoiled yet. They have not lived in the samsaram, isn't it? They have come out from the womb of the mother. For the next 2-3 years they are playing. And when they sleep, if you observe their face, you can see the shandi inside them. They are able to sleep and wake up very fresh. We don't feel that freshness because of the association with the modes of nature, right? So Krishna says that you have to become like that in that way. In that way. And in the Adarsha Skandam, Krishna has mentioned this in a different way, that he's talking about that children, about the little boy, he was talking about that. Vartayatyattamanam sukhamadishishuval nisahayaschareyam. That's the word. Nilpatur says this to Krishna. That he says that vartayatyattamanam sukhamadishishuval nisahayaschareyam kanyaya megasesho valayam ivaibho varjida aninya ghoshaha tvachitto nava buddhi paramishu pradival mabradayana ghosham geheshu anya pranideshu ahiriham nivasal Indiror Mandiresho. So when Melpatur said this to Krishna, Vartaya Tattamanam Sukhamadi Shishuval Nisahayas Chayayam, he said that actually we are helpless in this world, is it not? We are all helpless in this world, right? We are thinking foolishly that bank account is there, family is there, friends are there, and they will be there to help and all that. This is all our illusion in our head, right? When you really need the help, nobody could help you actually. At the time of death, that's what happens, is it not? That's the time you realize that all this is useless. Up to that time, you won't realize it. You will say, oh, bank money is there in the bank. Reasonable health is there. Family is there. and all the other friends are there, society is there, so many members of so many committees and members, you think that they will all help you. But actual fact, if you look at yourself, you are totally helpless in this world. Every one of us. Totally helpless we are, right? So, and knowing, like a child, child knows, he doesn't know anything in this world. He comes to this world uninformed. He doesn't know about his parents. He doesn't know about the problems of this world. He just comes one day. And for a few years, he is not conscious of this world at all. He lives in this world in that way, right? But grown-ups, adults think that, oh, if I have a lot of money in the bank, or a nice house to live, or friends to look care, friends to have relationships, and a good family, they will all be there for me to help, right? But you will realize one day, a stage will come, you will realize this is all useless. Nobody can help you actually. Shariram kalatram sukham bandhu vargam samastam parityajaha kashtam. That you realize that how helpless you are at that moment when you have to leave this world. Nobody can help at that moment. So, knowing that, become free from this world. Knowing this, to become free, right? So, only if you leave everything else, it is possible to take Krishna shelter. Otherwise, it is not possible. If you have taken shelter of any other things, then it is difficult to take Krishna shelter. Only if you leave everything, only then Krishna shelter is possible. So, leaving everything, that grip from everything, and making shanti inside, and if you have cleansed inside with all your memory, with all this, and that is the greatest challenge of the yoga. So, to think like this, that not anymore to think about all these aspects of the shelter, what you feel in other things, and to becoming free from that, and bring that shanti inside. Nishchala tatve jivan mukti. That stillness inside is called maunam. Maunam. Right? So, material life and this world outside is all run by that higher power. We don't know how it is managed, is it not? There is a higher power who controls this whole creation. And it will only work according to his desire. He will plan accordingly, it will happen. And it is better that we don't go and put our head into that and try to change everything. So that realization inside and that maunam, nishchalata, what Krishna is talking about, shanti. That shanti is maunam. Maunam alpa vinigraha, Krishna says there. And here also he says, alpa vinigraho mano nirodha sarvadaha, alpa vinigraho vag vishayasya eva, manasaha samyamo maunam idi visheshaha, he said. Yeah. So, maunam. So, alpa vinigraha. Maunam, alpa vinigraha. Another place Krishna said this. Remember? Amanittum adambittum ahimsa shandirarjavam acharyovasanam shaujam stairyam alpa vinigraha. Then, alpa vinigraham is maunam. Alpa vinigraham is maunam. So, Atmanigraha means through knowledge of the self, through self-realization, if the mind and the senses coming under control, that is called Atmanigraha. Atmanigraha means because Antaryami has woken up inside and you started realizing that Antaryami is more important than anything else in this world. With that realization inside, gradually becoming free from the grip of senses and the mind, everything, right? And that is what is called, and in that way the mind stops its problems what mind is creating, right? And that is what is called bhava samshuddhi, what Krishna is saying here, bhava samshuddhi nityedal, right? So bhava samshuddhi and adhyatma sadhana is all for this purpose, what Krishna is saying. Bhavana matra sandushtaha, somehow the other, our bhavana inside has to become purified, has to become pure. And as much as possible, what destroys that bhavana inside, as much as possible, not to see that, not to hear that, and to whatever extent possible, continuously purify that bhavana through bhakti. And that is what devotee does. Krishna says there, bhava samshuddhi rityetal tapo manasa mucchyate. So basically what you have to understand is this, bhakti means this bhavana logam. Bhakti means this bhavana logam, the world of bhavana, right? It will mention before, bhavagrahi janardana, right? Krishna is also, look at us, where are we in this world? He is not looking at our body. He is looking at that bhavana world where we are at, bhavana logam, where we are at, right? So, Acharya Swami says here that, parai vyavahara kale amaya vitvam bhava samshuddhi. He says, parai vyavahara kale, when you are doing vyavaharam with others, not having any crookedness, kapatyam in there, and straightforwardness, in other words, that is called bhavana samshuddhi. Bhavana samshuddhi, that's how you test. In your dealing with others, in vyavaharam, if you are straightforward, that is bhava samshuddhi, right? So, if the heart is pure, the hridayam is shuddham, then everything will be like that. Jabam, dhyanam, all these things are meant for this bhava samshuddhi, right? So, it is this bhava samshuddhi, bhava mandala, it is this bhava mandalam that is coming in your dream state and in the sleep also, right? When you become very sensitive there, in the dream state, if you become very sensitive, right, it has got different aspects to it. You see, yogis and yanis and great devotees also, they are very conscious about all these things, very alert. They are not gross like us. We are very, very gross, aren't we? We just do some things what we are told and we think we have done our spiritual life. That's on the most gross level it is. When it becomes more subtle, you become very sensitive to your mind. What's happening inside the mind during the awakened state, during the dream state, what kinds of thoughts are coming in, they become sensitive to all that. So this is a progression from in the devotional service. It is another step going further inside, right? So bhava mandalam is that. When you become very sensitive in the bhava mandalam, in that sense, you will notice something that others' bhavam will affect you, right? Similarly, the place where you live, it will affect you. Or you can also say like this, right? Yogis are very sensitive to these things. People whom they associate with, how they are affecting them, they are conscious of that. Because of this bhava samshuddhi, right? So, in one way, for yogis, they are very limited. Limited in the sense, they cannot live anywhere like we do. We can buy a house here or there, wherever it is. A place you select and buy it, properties in it. Yogis don't believe in that. They are always very sensitive to that. That is why when they choose a place, they will make sure that it does not disturb their bhava mandalam, bhava samshuddhi, right? Only knowing this, their movements, if you watch, they will move in such surroundings only, right? So all that is remaining in a world which there is bhava samshuddhi is there. And when you become very sensitive to that, they will know that they cannot live in certain houses, certain places, right? That's all due to bhava mandalam. This bhava mandalam, what Krishna is talking about, bhava samshuddhi, it is a special science in itself. Another topic it is, completely, right? The more bhavam becomes purified, bhavukatvam comes to you. Bhagavadam said that, isn't it? He said, resiga bhuvi bhavukaha, he said. So it is that bhava mandalam, in the first canto, in the first verse itself, he is talking about this. Yeah. We are not conscious of all those things. Yeah. So he is saying here, so who should listen Bhagavadam? Who should listen Bhagavadam? That's what it is saying there. Who is qualified to listen? One who has got this bhavam inside. So those who can enjoy Bhagavadam, resiga devotees they are called, they are the people, when they hear Bhagavadam, bhakti, and the pastimes, everything, one should know how to enjoy it, how to enjoy those pastimes, right? If we stay like a stone and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not considered to be proper hearing, right? No emotions at all, just hearing things and with the mind analyzing it, can this all happen, is it all true? And intellectually analyzing it, that is not Bhava Samshuddhi. So that is what he is saying here. So with such people it is very difficult to speak Bhagavatam also. and the difficulty is that they have not developed that Shravana Samskaram. That is the problem. Not criticizing anybody, but it happens. In the early days, that is how we begin. You see, because we are used to college and university, what did we do there? Made notes, everything. And we brought it home. And we memorized it. And then we delivered it back into the examination paper. And we got the certificate and finished with it. That is not how you study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. You should not write it down anything. It's not a good thing. While hearing, you have to have its effect on your mind. How it is impacting you, that's what is more important. Not what information you have collected. Information is all useless. Because of our habit, we went to college and university and we have noted down important points, bullet points, they call it, isn't it? Now they have developed all the programs for that, PowerPoint. And devotees are also doing the same thing. Their presentation is all with these bullet points. It's absolutely horrendous when you see that they have not even understood how you study Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is Rasiya Bhuvi Bhavugaha. That Bhavugatam has to come. That how do you develop proper Shravanam? Shravana Samskaram it is called. The hearing culture. How to hear properly, right? So, able to involve in that thing. Remember I mentioned this story before. Ramanujacharya was speaking Ramayana. And there was one of his disciples, his follower, who always wants to be with Ramanujacharya. Why? Because Ramanujacharya was expert in speaking Ramayana. And he will sit next to Ramanujacharya. And everything what Ramanujacharya says, he will enjoy it so much. And when something was spoken, he got affected by that. And he hit the person next to him. Because he was so excited by hearing what Ramanujacharya has spoken about it. Right? And similarly, he will get affected by anything what he said. What happened to Sita Devi was suffering. He was feeling the suffering himself. And so that is how to relate with these stories in the Bhagavatam and Ramayanam in this way. That is called Rasiya Bhuvi Bhavugaha, right? And to such people, if you hear, when they hear Bhagavatam, Ramayanam and all, you will see the impact on them, right? So that is one side of it, right? Then if you speak the philosophy, Vedantam, the knowledge side of that, they should be able to absorb it in the Shanti state. That's the difference. When Katha is spoken, you should have the Bhavana inside to enjoy it. Rasiga Bhuvi Bhavugaha. Bhavugatvam has to come. That Bhava Samshuddhi is there, then you will enjoy Bhavugatvam, right? On the other hand, when the Jnanam is spoken, Vedantam is spoken, those who have good connection with the Jnanam, they will be in a Shanti state all the time. If both things are inside in a person, it's a good combination. It's the best combination. When, for example, Dashamaskandam, 10th canto, is all Bhavugatvam. Ekadashaskandam is full of Vedantam. You should be able to enjoy both the 10th canto as well as the 11th canto. One who has got both of them, they are in the perfect state. Yeah, it's a good combination. That means you should have the taste of the bhakti rasam and you should have the shandi of the knowledge, jnanam. Taste of the bhakti and the shandi of the jnanam. Both should be there. Both should be there. We'll continue after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamahadavati nirvapanam shreyakaidavach idaranam vidyavadhu jeevanam आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वाज्ञा सुवनं वरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनं नाम्नामगारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निमिदा स्मरणेन कालाम् एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममाभि ദൈവമീദശമിഹാജനിനാനുരാഗാഹം തൃണാരമീഷുണീചേന തരോരമീ സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിന മാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നധനം നജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാൽ ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഗിത്വയി അയി നന്ദതനൂജകിങ്കരം പതിനാമം ക്ഷമേ ഭവാം ഭുദൌ കൃപയാദവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം കലദശുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുലകൈർവിചിതം ഗതാവഭൂ തവം നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിദം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിദം ശൂന്യായിദം ജഗത് സർവം ഗോവിന്ദപരഹേ നമേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം ജിനശ്വമാം അദർശനാം മഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാതഥാ വാ വിദധാതുലം പടോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേവ നാപരാ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So we were talking about bhavana shuddhi, bhavamandalam, isn't it? That verse is manaprasada saumyatvam. Maunam atmavinigraha bhava samshuddhi rityaya. That bhava samshuddhi, what does that mean? If bhava samshuddhi is there, if you have bhava samshuddhi, you will have bhavugatvam, what Bhagavatam says. Resiya bhuvi bhavugaha. So bhavugatvam is this bhava samshuddhi, right? the proof of that is feeling attraction for doing good things related to Krishna. And similarly, reading Shastram, books like Bhagavatam, Upanishads, Ramayanam, finding attraction to read all that, right? And experience enjoying it, reading that. That is a symptom of that bhava samshuddhi, bhavugatvam, right? It's a dhyanam. So, only if you have this bhavugatvam, swadhyayam will work. You remember Krishna mentioned about swadhyayam before? Yeah, swadhyaya, vyasanam chaiva. Swadhyayam can work only if there is bhava samshuddhi. Otherwise, it won't work, right? For example, you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam or Ramayanam. Some people will ask this question also. Are you not getting bored reading this Bhagavad Gita? People ask like that. They are straightforward. They are asking, I'm not finding anything interesting there. So you don't get bored about it. The reason is that there is no bhavana inside, right? So when you have developed this a chittam inside, when needs maturity, pakvata, when it becomes very refined, that is what is called a bhavana. If the chittam has got all kinds of vasanas inside, then it is not ready for bhavana. If the vasanas are strong inside, right? So if the vasanas have given away, gone away from inside, and chittam has become purified somewhat, then it develops a certain capacity to touch that andaryami, alaugigatvam, that is outside this world. Laugigam means this world. Alaugigam means outside this world. When the chittam feels a certain feeling for things beyond this world, our mind is caught up in the world altogether, is it not? But when the mind becomes a little bit free from this world and finds some taste for alaugigam, beyond this world, or transcendental nature, in other words, of the andaryami, when you're feeling some connection there with that, which shows that there is a refinement has happened inside the chittam. And that is what is called bhavana. Bhavana, right? You can see this when you see great personalities in them. You will notice this. Or similarly, when you go to famous temples, when you see great spiritually powerful places like, Kedarnath, Badrinath and places like that, or when you hear about that, it is impacting you inside you, right? That bhavana, that is bhava shuddhi. That is what he is saying here, bhava samshuddhi. That proves that there is some purification has happened inside. As I was saying that basically we are like machines, programmed machines. We have lived in this world 70, 80 years. And you can see our lifestyle. And that vasana is so strong inside. Even when you come to spiritual life, we want to make it in a very organized way. Spiritual life don't work like that. Spiritual life is based on bhavana. So bhavana, samshuddhi is not there. So similarly, when you read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, you will see immediately a certain stage that a dhyana siddhi comes, samahita siddhi. That what Krishna is saying is opening our eyes all the time, isn't it? Indriyani pararahu indriyabhi paramana. Which science will tell you these things? Manasastu parabuddhi yo buddhe paradastu sa. No other literature, no other science will tell you. The other day there was one clip I saw where he was saying, one man saying, that science is agreeing a lot of things with Krishna, what Krishna is saying. So somebody has written a comment and that you should give a Nobel Prize to Krishna now. Put in a note underneath that, making a joke of it, a joke of the scientists, you know. Because scientists are so convinced that they are the perfect one. Nobody else knows anything about this world. And so they are doing some study of the Bhagavad Gita in some American university this is. And somebody has come out with a statement that many things in the science is in agreement with what Krishna is, what spoken is in agreement with the science. In other words, science is authority. Krishna's research has proved that it is correct in that way, making Krishna as a scientist and they are the authorities on that. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that when you read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, leaving behind all these things, is that having an impact in me when Krishna is saying these things? Is it not? That how, what is yoga means, what is the qualities of a devotee, all these things what Krishna has spoken, it is having an impact on us. Start realizing this is the standard I want to be in life. This makes sense to me, right? So that samahita sthiti, and some people even when they touch Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, they feel that ecstasy, that this is what Krishna has spoken and this is the authority in life, right? So all this is only possible if one has bhavana inside, right? So, and a person who has got bhavana, he does not require explanation anything because he has got bhavana inside. And a person who does not have any bhavana, whatever explanation you give it to him, it's also not going to help. He won't be able to, right? So bhavana, one who has got bhavana, he does not see the deity and starts checking how tall is the deity and how beautiful he looks. That's not how he sees there. He will see with the bhavana chakshusa. With the bhavana inside, he will see the deity, right? And he won't ask unnecessary questions also, useless questions, right? And that is a symptom of this bhava samshuddhi, what he is saying here. So for yogis, in their upasana, this bhava samshuddhi is very important for the yogis, right? And till this bhava shuddhi, bhava samshuddhi comes, they will remain in the association of mahatma personalities, right? And that is how they acquire this bhava samshuddhi, by remaining with people who have got that bhava inside. In their association, bhava samshuddhi can come. Yeah. So that therefore he is saying here at the end, tapo manasam uchyade, he is saying. Tapo manasam uchyade. So, now, so far, they have spoken three types of tapasas. Shariram, vachikam, manasam. Body, words and the mind, right? So, these tapasya with the body, we spoke about yajnam. Yeah. Shariram, tapasya, vangmayam. Three things he has covered now. 14th verse is shariram. 15th is vangmayam. And the 16th is manasam. This tapasya, what he has spoken so far, again it is divided based on sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. That is an important thing in our life, is it not? the three modes of nature. That is working inside also. So based on the three modes of nature, Krishna is going to divide them into further again. So look at the next verse. He is saying that Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastal trividham marai abhala kamshvir yukte satvigam parijakshade. Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastal trividham marai abhala kamshvir yukte satvigam parijakshade. Someone who is doing with a lot of Shraddha his spiritual practices, sadhana, right? He is not expecting any results from that. And in a very moderate way, he is in a yoga state. If he is doing all these sadhana, then that sadhana, tapasya. All this is tapasya, what he has spoken, the satvira, shariram, words, body, words and the mind. That tapasya what Krishna has spoken before, if it is done without expectation of any results, in a moderate level he is doing that, not to the perfection. And that, if he is in that yoga state, he says, that his tapasya is satyam. That is satyam. Because the symptom of satyam is that not expecting anything from that, without any expectation. All he wants is, he wants Krishna should be pleased. Nothing else. He wants, from that, and that is satyam. So you can see this in the Kapilopadesham also. When he divided Satya Raja Samsam Bhakti, he also said the same thing, right? So Shraddhaya, Astikya Buddhya, Paraya, Prakrishtaya Taptam Anushtidam, Trividham Tupragaram Adhishtanam Narehi, Anushtadrubi, Abhalagamshubi, Bhalagamsharahidehi, Yuktehi, Samahidehi, Ad Idrisham Yatapatat Satyam, Satya Nurvadam Parijakshare Kathiyande Shishtaha. Then, he is saying, what is Rajasam? Very clearly, exactly like the way Kapila Maharshi said in the about bhakti. Same thing here, Shraddha. Shraddha also in the same way. Yeah. He is saying, Salkara Mana Pujartham Tapo Dambhena Chayvayat Kriyade Tadviha Proktam Rajasam Chalamadruvam. 18th verse. Satkara Mana Pujartham Satkara Sadhugara Sadhu Ayam Tapasvi Brahmana Idi Evam Artham Mano Mananam Pratyutthana Abhivadanadi Tadartham Pujapada Prakshalana Archana Shaitruadi Tadartham Jatapa Satkara Mana Pujartham Gambhena Evam Cha Yat Kriyade Tapaha Tad Iha Proktam Kathidam Rajasam Chalam Kadajitka Bhalatvena Adruvam. Here, in order to be respected by others, recognition in the world, others should think of me as a spiritually powerful person, wants recognition, right? Others should say that he is a good sannyasi or a good guru or a sadhu, and he is very advanced in spiritual life. Devotees always have this problem. They will always talk about some guru like this, oh, he's very advanced. He doesn't know anything. Guru also doesn't know anything. He's just saying things like that to impress others as though he knows everything. He will say like this, somebody is that, right? So all this is coming from that Rajasa Buddhi. Rajasam it is. To judge others that they are advanced, he said, who are we to say anything about anyone? Only Krishna knows who is advanced and who is not, right? So, in order to show to others that I am a great spiritual personality, tapasvi, in other words, that kind of tapasya is Rajasam. That means you dress up like a great devotee and to impress others. For that purpose you are doing the tapasya. That is Rajasam. That's Rajasam, right? So, people who do these things are people when they don't have any other livelihood. They go and do all these kind of things, right? You will see such people also in Hrishikesh, Haridwar, Tirunamalai and all that. People who do these kind of things. Dress up like this and wander around and impress others that they are sadhus and they want recognition, right? plenty of them, you will see that, right? Sometimes you know, there are a lot of duplicates in this field also. It's not the spiritual field is all so straightforward. There's a lot of duplicates there, right? And in order to be recognized, easy way of livelihood in this world, recognition in this world, name and fame. And even though there is no substance in what they are saying or doing, he doesn't have himself knows much about it. Basically, everything is focused on recognition, name and fame in this world, right? And therefore, whatever he is doing, puja, or he will like to do that in front of others. He will impress everybody with his sadhana. He wants to impress others how much sadhana I am doing. One thing you must remember, that it is impossible to go inward when you are in the middle of so many people. It's very difficult to go inward, to become so disconnected with the world outside, right? In Salsangam, you can say these things little bit more involved, but when you are doing japam or when you are doing dhyanam, if people come, it is very difficult. It affects your sadhana. If people are around all the time, coming, going, talking, and in the middle of that to do sadhana is very difficult, right? So, there was one Tiruvannamalai Swamiji, one Swami was there, right? What he used to do, he was very funny, funny in the sense that he will borrow money from rich people. He will sit there nicely dressed and with a danda and everything, right? So, and he will act, he was very good at acting as a Swami. And then he knows people who are coming there. And when some rich people come, he will talk to them one or two words here and there. And these rich people, they will give him a lot of money to do different things, right? So, and over a period of time, a lot of money came to him. Then what did he do? He will lend this money to poor people. He was doing that as well, along with this, right? So after some time, when he started taking a lot of money from the people, the rich people stopped coming to him. And then after some time, the poor people who borrowed the money, they also stopped coming to him. So he got all the money from the rich people and he had lent it to poor people. And neither the rich nor the poor, both of them stopped coming to him after that, right? So he's saying, now is the right time. They are not bothering me. Nobody is bothering me. He went to... So with the result-oriented way, if you do puja or any kind of aradhana, it is a waste of energy. Waste of energy, right? That means to show to others that I am something important and spiritual. Spiritual life is an internal affair. And if you make it too much into the public, everything, you are not going inside. You are all the time outside in this world, asking for recognition, asking for followers and recognition from the world. All these kind of anarthas will continue with us, right? And to expect that they have gone inward is very difficult. It is not possible, right? So, lot of energy. That's what he is saying here, that in that verse, Salkara mana pujartham dambodam tapodam bhena chayvayat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalam adruvam. So, in front of others to do the sadhana, and similarly, in front of that people, if you are doing that, you won't be able to do it seriously. Sitting in one place, in isolations, right? Therefore, it is mentioned here that obviously this problem existed even in the olden days, not now only, right? So, that is why in this commentary he has written that very specifically. For that reason, obviously this problem existed even then, right? Puja, it says here, you see that? Puja, pada prakshalanam, archanashaitvadvi, tadartanja tapa, salkana mana pujartham, dambhena evam cha yat kriyade tapa, tadiha proktam. You know all this feet washing business and all that? It's all a part of this. They like it, those who are getting washed. They want it. And but they won't say that. They think that obviously either they don't know it, that this verse, if you understand, it is Rajasam, it is.
If you see very cultured Brahmanas, how they do it, then you will see the difference. That's when you understand this, the secret behind that. They will be doing it in a totally different way, not to show in front of others, my feet is getting washed, everybody should. There's some funny videos on this, want to look at it. The kind of things they do. These poor disciples, they also don't know anything about it. They are so enthusiastic to do something. But this is what they have been told to do. And this, so many things like that. Similarly, garlanding business. As soon as you come in your Mercedes and everybody comes with a garland and put it on your top, everybody offering obeisances. In a subtle level, he is enjoying all these things. This, I'm talking about the gurus, right? So this is all Rajasam. That is what Krishna is saying this. Yeah. Obviously, this problem always existed. Not now only. It was always there. And that is why Krishna said that. Salkara mana pujartham tabo dambhena chayvayat. Very cultured people, they won't accept all these things. They know that this is all nothing but a show. And they will, for namesake, they will do one or little one or two things in a way that it does not give you an impression that they are very serious about it. In such a way, they will, in a very casual way, they will do all such things. That you have to observe yourself and see the difference, how it is done, right? So, here, what Krishna is saying here is that when it is done, anything what is done alone is satyam. Not in front of others. Doing in front of others, it is rajasam. Because you can only be serious if you are on your own. When you are in the middle of a big number of people, it is very difficult to develop this bhava inside. Yeah. So, only you and Krishna, nothing else. In between, nothing else, right? So therefore, that relationship with Krishna on your own individual level, with you and Krishna, that is satyam, right? Look at the next verse, what Krishna is saying. 19th, what is tamasam is? Mudhagrahena atmanoyat. If you don't study these words, we will do the wrong things all the time. Why these verses are important? Because you understand, as I said, a shastra with a small shastram pramanam de karya karya vyavasthito. Krishna said that before, didn't he? Shastram is pramanam, what is the right and wrong thing, not your mind or my mind. The small shastram pramanam de karya karya vyavasthito. Karyam akaryam, you should decide based on shastram. And this is a shastram. Mudagrahen atmanoyat piraya kriyade tapa parasyul sadhanartham va tal tamasam udahrudam. What is tamasam means? Tamasam means, he says, that he doesn't have a particular goal or anything, some kind of stupidity in his head, but he is very determined at the same time. And for that purpose, you are willing to torture your body. You know, some people do that. They will torture their body, right? Like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, what they did. They were not interested in self-realization or spiritual goal, nothing. Just wanted to torture the body because they were so determined to develop some power, right? And ugra tapasya, right? Or in other words, the intention was to throw away all the devotee or devas from the heavenly planets, take control of the heavenly planet. Ravana had the same problem, Hiranyaksha had the problem, Hiranyakashipu, all of them, right? So, in other words, whatever they do will be destructive, give problem to others. The end result of their tapas is problem to others. Whether it is Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha or Ravana, all of them. Whatever, they were also good at tapas, but the end goal was destruction of others, giving trouble to others, right? So that's what he's saying there. Parasul sadhanarthamba. Parasul sadhanarthamba. Others give trouble to others. That's only goal inside on that basis, right? So, he says here, mudagrahena, bhashyam you see, avivega nishayena, almanaha, pidaya, kriyade, yat tapaha, parasya ulsadanartha, vinashartamva, tat tamasam udakadam. No proper discrimination, no knowledge either, no shastram at all, and avivega nishayena, some moodhatvam inside, and for that purpose, selfish reasons, they did all these things. And in bhakti also, it is there. Kapila Maharshi said that. In Kabilam, if you look, yeah, Kapila Maharshi said the same thing, right? He mentioned Satya Bhakti, Rajasa Bhakti, Tamasa Bhakti, right? So, Tamasa Bhakti is basically, in order to destroy somebody else, you worship certain devadas and get their support to destroy others. Because they give you some power, right? In other words, there is no knowledge, and apart from that, there is no proper discrimination also inside, and they do like that. But you won't find that in people who are very cultured. You won't see this in people who are very cultured. Or people who are going to Salsangam and all that, they won't do such things. If you are going to Salsangam, you won't do such things. These are people who don't have a Salsangam, but they have also bhakti in a different, in the wrong way, in other words. That's the people who go and do this, right? When they are doing tapasya, in their inside, they want to destroy somebody for that, right? So, if it comes like that, their tapasya has become tamasam, tamasam. So, after saying that, Krishna is saying now, so, Satya Rajasa Tamasam, he mentioned that. Now, he is going to talk about charity, dhanam, that is the next one. Dhanam Satyam Rajasam Tamasam. How that is going to be spoken in the next verses. Yeah. So, Bhajagovindam prayers, you will see this mentioned. One of the verses. Gayam Gita Nama Sahasram, Deyam Sripadi Rupa Majasram, Deyam Sajjana Sange Chittam, Deyam Dina Janai Javittam. 27th verse here. Yeah? What he is saying is, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudanathayam. Yeah. So he says that Ajahn Swami is addressing us as Mutha. We are Muthas, basically, right? Mutha Mathe, he says. Daily reading Bhagavad Gita. On a daily basis, daily reciting Sahasranama, Vishnu Sahasranama, right? And real daily basis meditating on Krishna. And similarly, mind getting absorbed in Salsangam. If all that is there, then if there is extra wealth still in hand, give it up for deserving people, or whoever can use it properly, give it to them. This is the instruction of dana, charity, right? Some people, they won't enjoy the wealth, but they won't give it to anybody. Keep it in the bank and feeling peace, happy about it, right? Such people are there. And when they will live also very frugal way, in a simple way, but they will have a lot of money, but externally they won't reveal that, right? Very rich people, but outwardly they'll give you an impression they are poor, right? And that's what Yakshavitam means. Yakshavitam means you have got wealth, you are not using it, you live very simple, you won't give it to anybody, and that's called Yakshavitam. You remember what happened to Bhikshu Gita? Same thing. So the principle is like this, right? Either you should use the wealth for your living, comfortable, happily, whatever you want to enjoy life, right? Otherwise, you should give it to somebody. And you should get the happiness of giving it to someone and the benefit others are feeling from that, right? Krishna is saying, if you give it to the right purpose to someone, that's a tapasya. He's saying it is a tapasya, if you do that, right? Look at the next verse. Dadavya vidiyad dhanam, diyade anubhagarine. Deshe kalecha patrecha tad dhanam satyam spradam. What is dhanam in satyam? That's what Krishna is talking about. Satya dhanam means that you are giving something. Why? Because you have got the money and therefore you are giving it. And you are giving it to others, right? Giving money to people who are doing something for you, there is not much benefit from that. You see what happens in family life. You may have a lot of family members and you are thinking that oh, I will give them this money, they will take care of me, and in this way, or giving them some kind of financial support, if I don't give them, who else will give them, in this way, thinking like that, right? So all that is, Krishna is not encouraging that. That's not satyam. That's not satyam. Sometimes people have enough money, and still the parents feel that I have to leave all this money for them, and that's not satyam. That's not satyam. That's what he's saying here. That is not dhanam, Krishna says. If you give money to people who are your relations and who are very close to you, that is not dhanam. That's not dhanam. Dadavyam, he's saying here. Dadavyam iti yad dhanam. It should be dadavyam. Dadavyam means by giving, that person should feel the benefit from that. He should feel the help what is being given to them, right? And if by giving that you get the happiness, Antaryami from inside tells you that Antaryami allowed you to do that. First of all, Antaryami has to allow you to do that, otherwise you won't do it. From inside, Antaryami has to give you that feeling of benefit of this dhanam, dadavyam, right? So, finding that happiness, and this has to be trained when they are small children. Children should be trained from the early days itself, right? Children, you know how they are. They'll say, this is mine, they will say, and fight each other on something, right? So, if you keep teaching them like that, to look after your own wealth, your own property in that way, right? That swarthada or selfishness will increase in them. So, that's, you see the first line, dadavya midiyat dhanam. Dadavya midiyat dhanam means, that person whom you are giving it, he is not giving you anything. He is not of any use to you in any way, right? You don't even know him who it is, but you are given it to them, right? So, but what is that? Diyade anubhagarine. You found somebody who is deserving that for purpose. Some purpose you have found, which is they are deserving for that, right? And therefore, if you give it to them, that is beneficial. So that's what Krishna is saying. That satya dhanam, what does that mean? Dadavyam idiyad dhanam diyade anubhagarine. If you are feeling like a business transaction, that I'll give it to my children, they will give me help at the old age and all that, keep the wealth in the family, people say all these kind of things. It's not. All that is not approved by Bhagavad Gita. Keeping the wealth in the family and all that. Krishna's point is that if you want to understand dhanam properly, dadavya midiyad dhanam, diyade anubhagarine. So, if you give something, it is of benefit to the individual or to the society in some way. Dhanam, that is dhanam. You don't even know who they are, but they are getting the benefit. You may not know them personally, but they are getting the benefit. That is dhanam. Krishna says, dadavya midiyad dhanam. That can be, you can be anything. Food, clothes, shelter, whatever that is. Helping somebody in that way. Not even know, but you have done it because you had money to give it. You gave it like that. Right? If nothing is possible, if you don't have anything to give, at least offer obeisances to them. Namaskaram for that. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see this. Is it not? You remember? In Kapila Maharshi said this. What did he say? Athamam sarvabhudeshu bhudalpanam kritalayam. If you look at the words in the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 29th chapter, 27th verse. Kapila Maharshi said this very strongly, he put it there. Very strong, he said that. Look at the words. Athamam sarvabhudeshu bhudalpanam kridalayam arhaya dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusha. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuri, he says to her that you should, when you are giving it, you should realize that Krishna is inside them. You are actually giving it to Krishna in those forms who have come. Whether you give them prasadam, whether you give them anything, whatever you give them, Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, whatever way, recognizing that Krishna is in them. Athamam sarvabhudeshu, bhudalpanam kridalayam, arhayed, dhanamanabhyam, maitriya, abhinena chakshusha. And that's exactly what Krishna is saying here. Dadavyam idiyad dhanam, diyade anubhakarine, deshe kaleja patraja taddhanam satiyam spradam. Right? So, Kapila Maharshi said like that, all these things, kridalayam, he said, athamam sarvabhudeshu bhudalpanam kridalayam. Kridalayam, Kapila Maharshi says, kridalayam, right? In other words, everyone's, this body, Kapila Maharshi is teaching us what spirituality means. This body is a temple of Krishna. Krishna's temple is this body. Krishna is inside Antaryami, is it not? And it is Him who is running this body. Is it not? We say, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? You can't even move this finger without Him inside. This is how dependent this body is on Him, right? And he is saying here that one should worship Him. Earlier, 21st verse, Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalpa avastita sada tam avajnaya mam martya kurude archa vidambanam. He is saying that if you don't worship Him, Antaryami inside in everyone, how dana manabhyam Martya Abhinena Chakshusha, he said, right? This Maitreya Abhinena Chakshusha, you have to join it everywhere. In other words, he is different, I am different. Yeah? That bhavam has to go from inside. One, Antaryami present in him and in me. They are not different. Antaryami is not different. So same Krishna who is present in everyone, seeing that, you should do this dhanam. Arhaya dhanam anab. These are all the bhavam behind dhanam. The bhavam behind dhanam has to be like this. That Krishna is present in everybody. And it doesn't matter whether I know Him personally or not. But that and Krishna in that body will recognize that. That's the way dhanam should be done, right? For example, if a person is hungry, give them food. And he is feeling hungry, just like I am feeling hungry, he is also feeling hungry. That is why in the 6th chapter, Krishna said this. Remember? How you should do this. In the 6th chapter, if you look, you will see Krishna saying this. 632. Bhagavad Gita. 632. How it should be, the relationship. Atmavam yena sarvatra samam pashyati arjuna sukham va yadi va dukham sayogi paramo mada. Krishna saying, a person who is recognizing this, Antaryami present in everyone, and not looking at whether he will be of any use to me or not, he is seeing the Antaryami in him. Krishna is inside him, and he needs it, and I have got it, so I am giving it to him. I don't need it. He has got it. That is the thought behind that. Not for one's own ego satisfaction, but rather, one's recognizing Krishna's present in us. Atmavam yena sarvatra. That's exactly this verse. Atmavam yena sarvatra. Samam bhashyati Arjuna. Everyone is equal on that. Because, as he said in the Ekadasham at the end also, isn't it? To get this stage, Krishna said that you offer obeisances to everyone. Visarjas mayamana and swan, drisham vridamja dehigim, praname dandavad bhumav, ashu chandala khokharev. Ekadasham. So Krishna is saying the same thing, he is repeating in different ways. Kapila Maharshi said in one way, Krishna said in another way. But the principle remains the same. It doesn't change. Antaryami is one, present in everybody. So in one particular body, he needs something. In another particular body, he has got extra. So the one who has got extra in this body should give it to someone who has got, who needs it. Same Antaryami is present in him. That is the principle behind that. Yeah, so that's what Krishna is saying in this verse also, right? he has to start thinking, he is also like me, he needs the food, he needs the clothing, he needs the shelter. So therefore I have given it, right? If nothing is possible, at least offer obeisances to him as Antaryami present inside. Brahmani, arkai, spilling again. Brahmani, arkai, spilling again. Akrure, krurege, chayiva. Samadruk, pandido, madha. Krishna said that to Uddhava at the very end, you remember? At the very end he said this. When Uddhava said to Krishna, I can't do all these things, Krishna said the last option is this, he said. Brahmanyarke spillingale akrure krurage jeeva samudra pandito mada visarja samayana and so on drisham gridam jadehi. Those verses. That's talking about the same thing, right? And some people, at least you can't do anything, at least inquire from them how they are. That is enough for them. They feel happy. They feel happy that somebody has inquired about them. They feel happy that way. Because sometimes parents live in this world, their children also have gone away and they don't feel any connection with the parents anymore. They have got their life to live in this world, they move away and they are not inquiring about the parents. Often you will see that in the news, isn't it? Parents saying, old people, children gone away, gone to Australia or to America, and they don't bother to call back or inquire about them. And but they feel so happy if somebody inquired to them, from them, how they are in life, right? So that is also a puja. And you will see a certain happiness in their face. Somebody has inquired about them. That's all Devarat Prida, he is saying here. Diyade anupakarine. So, probably due to old age, they may be struggling in this world. So these things pleases that Antaryami inside. So all that is Krishna is saying, Deshe Kaleja Patreja Taddanam Satyam Spradam. All that is Satyam. Satyam. Right. Then giving charity in places, holy places. Deshe Punneja Kuru Kshetra. Places like that. Giving charity. Tirtha Kshetram. There we may find people who have given up everything, home, everything, and come there to practice spiritual life very seriously, and they may require some help, and giving them such help is also considered to be satyam. So when you are doing that, you don't have to think very much. Happily you can give it to them because they are living in such places and living a very austere life, given up their family connections, everything. Completely come to practice spiritual life. And therefore, they don't have much of a desire. Whatever you give it to them, they will only, for their survival, they'll use that, right? Then there is another problem. What is that? certain people, if you give them, you don't know how they will use the money. You see, it's a big problem, this money. How to manage the money, right? It's a bigger problem than giving the money. Managing the money. Look at what's happening in Ayodhya now. Yeah. You saw that report, haven't you? Yeah. All this big talk about Ayodhya, now it has ended up in a big catastrophe. So much wealth has been looted. Not only in Ayodhya, it happened in Shabarimala, it happened in Guruvayur, it happened in many, many, many temples. Money gets squandered. This is the problem today. This is the biggest problem. When you give the money, and the money gets, somebody loots a thing, and they don't have any problem in doing that. This is the situation. This Ayodhya is discussed now very seriously, all over the, all the channels, they're discussing this. And some people are using it as a tool against the government to slander them, that all your Ayodhya project was nonsense, this and the other. But whatever it is, the point is this, what Krishna is saying here is that the, if you don't give it, you will lose that habit of giving. That's the problem. Gradually you will become very selfish. And that means you are falling down in spiritual life. In spiritual life, right? So, sometimes you may, money will be wasted. What can be done? Sometimes it can happen, right? And if somebody asks for money for a good cause, and to the extent possible you judge yourself and then make the decision. That's all you can do, right? If you have given it with good bhava shuddhi, it will be it will give the benefit also will come from that. Whereas if you keep on doubting everything, will the money be squandered or will the money will be spoiled with that, then you will never be able to give anything in this world. That's also there. That's the problem in this world, if you keep thinking like that, right? Therefore, practically you have to think like this. Whatever you do, you have to think that Krishna inside that person, let him be pleased with that. You got to use a little bit of common sense also in these things, right? If you have the money, give it. And you don't have to be completely pauper by giving everything, right? Whatever capacity allows you to do it, you should do that. Some people, even sometimes if it is essential, right? If you are willing to sacrifice, in Krishna's eyes, it is acceptable. Krishna considered it as Bhagavad Arathana, right? Tirtha Kshetram, similarly anything related to Krishna consciousness that helps people in their spiritual life, right? So that is what he is saying here. Deshe kalecha patrecha. Desham kalam patram. Yeah? Desham kalam patram. There is certain system in different sampradayams, in certain days special for them. Like Sankranti and all that, right? Similarly, inviting some brahmanas and giving them, right? A certain time in a year, because these brahmanas, they have no other income. They are living purely on the donations, right? They are entitled for that. That is the reason why in Vamana Avataram, in Vamana Murti's appearance, why Krishna has come as a brahmana boy. Only for this reason, to teach the world that as a brahmana boy, he says, I have no problem asking. I am entitled for that. To show to us, brahmana should be protected. If they are living by brahminical principles, they should be protected. That is what Sanatana Dharma is, based on that. Yeah. So what he is saying is that when he went to see Mahabali, he asked 3 feet of land, is it not? So Mahabali, out of his ahankaram inside, he said that you should have known what you should ask Mahabali. What Vamanamurti said, you see, if I ask more than 3 feet, I know what you will think about me. You will think this brahmana is very greedy. He is trying to take advantage of the... So I am a brahmana, Vamanamurti is saying, I shouldn't be asking more than what I need. And therefore I have asked for the 3 feet, he said to Mahabali, right? And Mahabali, so in that time, Mahabali's time, Krishna has taught the world how a brahmana should be protected. And that brahmana should not be greedy either. Maintaining brahmana is the duty of the society. There is no second question about that. Because they don't have their own anything. They don't have a livelihood. They don't live in this world to make money like everybody else, right? So that is what he is talking about. Deshe kalecha patram cha. Patram means you have to decide to whom you are giving it, right? So the person who is taking it, right, if he is qualified to receive it, then it is the best dhanam. Provided the receiver is qualified for that, then it is the best dhanam. So here you will see about Dadavyam, he is saying here, Shadanga Veda Parage Ityado Taddanam Satyam Spradam. Ajari Swami says, who is the brahmana who is qualified for receiving dhanam? Who is that? He says, Shadanga Vid Veda Parage. In other words, he should have studied Vedam. Brahmana should have studied Vedam. And apart from that, he should also have Shadangam, all the four Vedas, Shastik Shastram and 4 Itihasam, all of them, if you give it to him, it will not be wasted. If he has studied Vedam, all the 14, 4 plus 6 plus 4, that's the whole Vedic knowledge mentioned in the Upanishads, in the Vedam and Puranams, everything combined, all of that. One who has studied all these things, if you give him dhanam, it is not wasted. wasted money, right? So if you do dhanam like that, it is satyam. That is that. Dadatyam idiyat dhanam diyade anupakarine deshe kalecha patrecha tad dhanam satyam smritam. Then next words, what is rajasa dhanam? Dhanam rajasam, right? Yattu pratyupakarartham phala muddishya vapuna diyadeja pariklishtam tad dhanam rajasam smritam. Right? Whichever dhanam you do, expecting some results, returns from that, that I should get back something from that. I've given some charity. In this world, it is like that. A lot of people are like that. They will say, only if we give it, they will give it to us back something. If we don't give it, they won't give back anything. They will say that if we don't invite them for the marriage, they won't invite us for their daughter's marriage. People talk all these kind of things, right? These are all adjustment in this world. It is nothing to do with dhanam. Families, they do all these kind of things. If we don't invite them for our daughter's marriage, they won't invite us for their daughter's marriage. This kind of adjustment. This is all adjustment in this world, right? They'll also say like this, if you don't come for our daughter's marriage, we won't come for your daughter's marriage. They'll put all these kinds of conditions, right? Everything is very reciprocal, you know? It's all very reciprocal, right? For jokingly we say that if you don't come for my funeral, I won't come for your funeral either. Jokingly we say that. Because material relationships are all like this, all very reciprocal, and it is also very much based on this adjustment in life. Society is like that. That's how society is, right? So, so this is laukiyam, materialistic way of doing things, right? And they have not given me anything. Why should I give them anything? That is rajasam. That is rajasam, right? So, in the general world, what you find is all rajasam. Mostly it is rajasam. In other words, taking and giving, reciprocal, everything. In order to get some results, you will give some charity or some recognition in the world. In this way, not following the shastram properly, and what Krishna is saying here, that yattu pratyupakarartham, expecting something in return, if you do anything, diyadeja pariklishtam tad dhanam rajasam smritam, rajasam smritam. So diyadeja pariklishtam tad dhanam rajasam smritam. What happens is, when you give rajasa dhanam, they will be not very happy, because every time you are calculating, what will I get from this? With that mood, if you are giving it, there won't be any happiness in the face while giving the dhanam. Whereas if it is satyam, you will feel happily, because Krishna has given you an opportunity to give it to someone who needs it, and also you will see the happiness in the person who is giving it in his face. And rajasam, it won't be there. It won't be there. Pariklishtam, Krishna is saying, diyadeja pariklishtam, cursing, you are giving it, right? And the one who is receiving it also won't be happy. Some or the other, this is all normal in this world. Taddhanam rajasam smritam, he says. And what happens is that, that money, what he, or wealth, whatever he has been given, it won't benefit him also. And it won't benefit the one who has given it. And one who has received it also won't feel the benefit from that. So that is why Upanishad says, Shriyadeyam, Diyadeyam, Shaddayadeyam, Ashaddaya Adeyam. These are all statements in the Upanishad. It means that when you are giving charity, you should feel ashamed that I am possessing all these things. I should have given this before. In other words, with shame you should give it. Feeling shame inside and give the money. Or, only this much I could give. I couldn't give anything more than that. I'm still holding back something with me. So with fear you should give. This is Upanishad is saying this. Shriyadeyam, Diyadeyam, Shraddhayadeyam, Ashraddhayadeyam, he says. So with fear one should give it, right? With knowledge, one should give it. And realizing that Krishna is receiving that, with that knowledge, like the way Mahabali gave at the end, with knowledge one should give it, right? In other words, Mahabali learned a big lesson from Vamana Murthy, is it not? Finally, he realized that Vamana Murthy taught him a big lesson, how to give charity. Mahabali told Vamana Murthy, I possess all the three planetary systems. Don't you know me? And you are coming and asking me 3 feet of land. Is that not a shame for me? Mahabali said. Vamana Murthy started thinking inside at that time. So that feeling, Mahabali's hangaram inside, made him to speak like that, right? So Krishna is saying here that you have to, while giving it, you should not have that attitude of Mahabali. Instead, you should feel that Krishna has given me an opportunity to give something and he is willing to receive it in that form, whichever it may be. And if it pleases him, I should do that. And you should feel that you kept Krishna's wealth with yourself and not feeling willing to depart with that. Yeah. So that's what he's saying here. You should develop that into a yoga process. How to get rid of that desires and selfishness. And if this is only possible if there is proper knowledge inside. Yeah. If it is there, any karma, you can turn that into a yajnam. Into a yajnam. So that is what that Rajasadhanam means. Yeah. Yattu pratyupakarartham phalam uddishya vapuna diyadeja pariklishtam taddhanam rajasam spadam. After saying that, Krishna is going to say, what is tamasam then? So satyadhanam, rajasadhanam, then tamasadhanam. What is rajasadhanam? Tamasadhanam is adeshakale yaddhanam apatrebhyascha diyade asatkratam avajnyanam tat tamasam udahrutam. He is saying that where you are giving the charity is not in the right place. Wrong place. Gone and done some charity, right? And not many cultured people are living there. Not many cultured people are living there. People are all very sinful and sense gratifiers. And going giving them charity there to them is no good, right? And the place is also not very people who are very cultured living. You know, there's no samskaram there, right? And if you give them charity there, it is not of any benefit. That is tamasam. Right? And the time when you give this charity also is not right. Whatever you feel like, you gave them charity. And the person who receives that will naturally abuse it, the wealth you have given, right? Like you can see, election times and all, politicians get a lot of money from the business people. You know that, what's going on, don't you? That all these politicians, they get a lot of money during elections by the business people, because when the politicians come into power, they have to protect the interests of the businessmen. This is all connected to it. So it is completely tamasam it is, rajasam tamasam it is. And they can give the charity and write off from their tax bill. They're given charity, aren't they? So, and the one politician, he wants it badly for his election work, propaganda businesses and other things. You know what that's all the time talked about, right? But you can't do anything about it because it is rajasadamasam it is. That is nothing to do with charity, right? So that's what he's saying here. There is no satkara bhavam, there is no respect, and this businessman who are giving it is just giving it because he wants something from him when he comes into power to extract from him. Then he will have a right to sell him what he wants. If you have given him £5 million, then you can say that later. I give you 5 million. What have you done for me? He will ask. They won't have any problem with that. Nothing to do with dhanam. It is nothing to do with dhanam. Right? So, similarly, an institution. You have to look at all sides of life. An institution, they will ask for different projects money. Different projects, right? They'll say, we have got all these projects going on. Different projects are always coming up. Sadhus, to patronize sadhus, right? And they will give a lot of money to these sadhus and all that, right? And what they do is, they will keep a lot of people employed in this way to run the charity. They keep people employed running the charity, right? And other, they will, their job is fundraising, going all over the world and getting money from the people. This is their job, right? And when they take the money, they'll say, this is all for giving food to the poor people. And they will go and raise funds in that way, right? And when sadhus come for the food, they will be very selective to whom to give and not to give. And there they become very selective, right? So they won't give proper bhiksha to sadhus. Or whereas with a little bit of hesitation, they will distribute the charity in their own way. What they think is the right thing to do, right? All that is tamasam. All that is tamasam. It is like that, right? Priyarehidam pada prakshalanam pujadirehidam. Here it's saying here, you see that? Adeshakale apunya deshe mlechashuchyadi sankirne akale punya hedutvena aprakhyade samkrantya visheshrehide avatrebe cha murka taskaradibhyo deshadi sambattova asatkritam priyavachanam pada prakshalana pujadi rehidam avajnyadam patra paribhavayuktam yad danam adi tamasam udahkritam. So all these things are to be understood, right? There is no puja there is no worship there is no sweet words there. All that dhanam is tamasam. All that, because everything is now organized way done, isn't it? So when you do things in an organized level, all the good side will go from that. All these feelings won't be there. It will become institutional, that is the problem. The feelings that one should have during that dhanam, that goes away from there. It becomes very much a institutional thing. That is saying here. Yajna dhanam tava pravrtinam sad gunakaranayam ayam upadesham uchyate. So yajnam Krishna spoke before, dhanam he has spoke, now he has spoken about tapas also he has spoken. Now after this, from 23 verses to another 5-6 verses, is a little higher level spoken things, more than what he has spoken till now, which we'll talk tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.